much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
For over 50 years, one show has brought passion and perspective into your home through groundbreaking documentary storytelling. This summer, it returns.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Let me tell you about show business. Even though you are a superstar and all that, you have a lot on top of your head pressing you down. So it's not right.
We're going to get better every day. We're going to be tenacious. Something knocks us down. We're going to get back up, and we're going to keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming.
And now.
I'll tell you one thing. If they ever ask you to put on a pair of green tights, no matter how much they offer you, you just walk away. Walk away.
Our feature presentation.
It's a pretty good tip, I think, to start with today.
I miss Hank Kingsley.
Yeah, same. Same.
One of the all-time great TV characters.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Wednesday, the 10th of June.
Or March, whichever one.
Hey, I'll screw up enough on my own. Thank you.
There was a listener yesterday who Facebooked us or tweeted us or something that they think that it's an act, Kevin. They think that you're this is a character that you're playing.
It's taking every ounce of my ability to create this character.
Right. You're like Stephen Colbert. That's
right.
Not who you really
exactly.
are. It's just a finely crafted, hyper-intelligent character.
Correct.
That makes us think you are what you are.
That's right.
And I thought that was, I mean, I kind of went down the rabbit hole a little bit thinking about that theory. Thinking, well, maybe, you know what? He never breaks. He never cracks. Maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe this is a master plan. He goes home to his wife and he says, you're not going to believe what I got them to believe I accidentally said today.
But I have a British accent and I'm super intelligent and I'm talking about.
And a monocle.
And a monocle.
Totally. It's 100% your super spy character that they're playing when you come in here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I mean, think about it, kids. There's a lot of evidence to support this.
That's right. Think about that.
He could be Kaiser Soze. We don't know, man.
That's such a better option than the actual truth.
Exactly. Or the truth you would have us believe.
Right.
All right. Before we get started on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, and it is going to be a good one, I want to present to you Mr. Andrew Wardle. He is 40 years old. He is from Manchester. And he's in the news right now. He's got his own TLC special.
Yes.
He met his girlfriend, Fedra Fabian, while she was working at a summer camp in the UK. When she went back home to her native Budapest, they remained in contact via Skype, like people do, and continued to date for several months before she decided their relationship had progressed to the point where she was going to move to England to be with him. So they move in together. It was at that point that he felt like he had no choice, but he had to reveal a secret about himself, and that is that he has no penis. The TLC special, by the way, which was scheduled to be on the 13th of this month, which is this weekend, has been rescheduled. There is no air date yet given.
Is it just called Penis?
It's called The Man with No Penis. Now, is that would that be a deal breaker for some ladies? Or
where
you think
is
most
it?
Women would be grateful?
Where
is it?
Where did it go? Did he have one?
Does he have it in his car?
I'm glad you asked, Allie.
Did he use it when needed?
He was born with a rare condition that caused his bladder to grow outside of his body, meaning his genitals were not able to form when he was in the womb. I'm not sure I understand the way that works, how one affects the other, but that's what happens. It's called bladder extrophy. It affects just 1 in 6 million people. He was abandoned at birth by his 17-year-old mother and adopted by the nurse who cared for him at the hospital. He spent his childhood in and out of hospitals as surgeons attempted to correct the condition. After 15 agonizing operations, they managed to seal his bladder inside his body, so he took care of that part of the problem, but he still has no genitals. He also says, by the way, in an interview with The Mirror, to stop from anyone finding out about his condition, he would only date girls for a short amount of time so they did not get suspicious about his avoidance of sex. But when they did end up in the bedroom, he said he learned to compensate in other ways without going the whole way. I would always stop it right before it got to the sex stage. You learn how to make up for it in other ways, he said. He says he went to bed with over 100 women as a single man. Some were one-night stands, some were long-term relationships. I've only told about 20% of them the truth. One time he was punched in the face after revealing his secret. It is, I admit, difficult to explain to a new girlfriend.
Can you imagine getting punched in the face?
Yes, like he doesn't have enough going on in his life, right? He has been in a relationship now for 3 years with Fedra, by the way, who we discussed, that he met as an exchange student. He is now 1 year into a series of operations that aim to construct a penis using a large chunk of skin from his forearm. So this story may end up having a happy and relatively normal ending to it. By this time next year, doctors hope that he will have a fully functioning penis. He will then be able to have sex, although his penis will first need to be inflated using a special pump, which is not ideal, but it's better than nothing, right?
It depends. Can you do that without getting punched in the face?
His girlfriend Fedra says she intends to stand by his side. If you love somebody and you have a great relationship like we do, it's not just about sex. It's far more complex than that. People are so focused on the fact that we can't have sex, but we have unconditional love. Aww. So there you go. So I want you to think about, ladies, I want you to think about the things that you won't tolerate from your boyfriend or husband, the things that are deal breakers for you, and then think about Fedra, who's been dating this man with no penis for 3 years.
How does it say she knew from the beginning that he had no penis?
No. She didn't know until she moved from rough. Budapest to move in with him. So anyway, we need to see that show, and I don't know if the reason TLC didn't put it on is because, you know, they're kind of in hot water right now with all their Duggars, but, I mean, it seems like this one's... You know, it seems like there's no victim here. This is just a straightforward story of what's going on with this man. I don't know how they would get assaulted for playing this one, but I hope they air it.
Well, they do good stuff over there. I'm telling you. I watched My 600-Pound Life. That was strong.
They are the Freak Show Channel, man.
That woman has a fiance, by the way, My 600-Pound Life.
Sure.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
You make it sound like there's a correlation between what should happen and what actually happens.
Adam Tischauer will be joining us today talking about Camp No Counselor. I'm not positive what went on last week because I was sick.
Oh, it was a room divided.
It was a bloodbath, man.
Well, how does anyone care that much about this?
Well,
Ralph does. Ralph has cartoon hate for a lot of things that we don't understand, as you know, Kevin. But what's the downside of being outside with a bunch of old and new friends and, you know, playing volleyball and kickball and swimming and making s'mores and drinking? And it just seems like a great weekend. But he just thinks it's stupid, I guess. I think who else was on? Like,
they have mac and cheese, and I was like, "Is that bad? Because that sounds kind of good to me."
Allie, was he? Did he stand alone, or was there somebody else who thought it was stupid too? Because I know I was on board. Dave was on board. Where were you?
I was on board. I think Omar in the meeting thought it was dumb. So
Omar
thinks
it's dumb. Right?
Yeah. Oh, Omar.
So
and
Omar
Rafa.
Hates fun. Also, apparently.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, we will discuss.
Also, what's up with psychics? Stop it.
That's I knew you were going to say that.
Is that the answer you always ask?
Yes, it is.
Well played. Brand new internet roundup on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Clint Eastwood on today's show.
He's trying.
The Burrito Watch 2015 continues. We'll give you some updates on that.
God.
Hope you heard that story yesterday. That might be the best story of all time.
I want to thank a couple of our listeners who went by the Ontario Del Taco yesterday to sniff around a little bit, see if they get some details for us. We had some boots on the ground, but we will give you an update.
A brand new edition of Would You Like to Take That Back?
Allie.
If you're excited about that. Might Allie. Be the all Allie edition. I'm not sure.
I think a lot of
Allie.
Bean.
Yeah.
Very well, strong.
Well, there's always
bean.
A lot of bean, but.
The bean is strong with this one.
And also in studio, we've got a visit from Tenacious D.
Fantastic.
They've announced their Festival Supreme for another year. We're going to have those guys in a little bit later on this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Ralph Garman steps in. What? What's so funny?
This is a conversation you have this morning about the guy with no penis.
Right.
Allie asked the question, reasonably, well, where is it? What happened to it? And Kevin guessed, does he keep it in his car?
It was a serious guess,
I know,
Ralph.
But even as a joke, that's where he went.
I don't know. She was...
Does he wear it as a necklace? Does he keep it as a keychain? Is it made into a change purse? Does he keep it in his car?
You don't know, man.
Thank you, Bean. You don't know, man.
That's going to be my defense. You don't know, man.
You weren't there.
That's right, man.
Is it hanging from his rearview mirror?
<Just saying. laughs> You're thinking of rabbit's feet, Ralph.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and Ralph is here. Time for the first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, this is the greatest poll in the history of polls. Do you keep it in your car? No, I don't. I keep it here on this sheet of paper. The Washington Post has decided to stop being a real newspaper.
Uh-oh.
And so what they did was, to prove that they're no longer in the news business, they asked a poll of a random sampling of Americans whether you think the current crop of politicians who are vying for the White House would do a better job of running the country, or do you think a villain from a Hollywood movie would have a better shot at running the country? Who would be the better president? They asked. Well, the poll results are in. Marco Rubio is our baseline. That's, he's at an even zero.
Okay.
In terms of approval or disapproval rating. Okay, so everyone seems to have just a neutral opinion of Marco Rubio.
Right. Maybe okay, might not be that bad, whatever.
Eh, coin flip.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders is a plus one in terms of approval rating. Yes, okay. I think he's got a shot at being a good president. Huh? The shark from Jaws is a plus seven in the poll.
Okay.
In terms of who would do a better job of running the country. Darth Vader is a plus 11 in the poll.
No!
Now,
and,
what, a,
and
what a,
at the number one slot,
what a,
the Terminator has a plus 20 rating in terms of approval for being a president.
What is happening? What about Darth Vader makes somebody think he would be a good president?
Look.
He looked efficient
he
to
got,
me.
He got two Death Stars built in his career.
He got to get things done.
If he's a great
infrastructure, if you have an infrastructure problem, if you need bridges done or highways,
he's
I think Darth Vader is your guy. He gets S done.
He doesn't seem like a fan of the democratic process, though, to
me. Look, when push comes to shove, he does the right thing. He throws the emperor down the shaft.
Okay. Hey, spoiler alert.
Should put that on the posters. Darth Vader, he'll throw the emperor down the shaft. That would be his campaign. All right, let's go the other way, shall we? Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are tied with a minus four approval rating.
Okay.
In terms of their presidential merit. Rand Paul is a minus nine. Scott Walker is a minus 10.
Okay.
Voldemort is a minus 11. A lot of
people think Scott Walker is so close.
He would be bad for the country. Mike Huckabee and Ted Cruz are tied with a minus 13. Jeb Bush and Rick Santorum tied with a minus 18. Chris Christie has a minus 26 rating. And at the bottom of the pack, worse than Voldemort, worse than the shark from Jaws, Darth Vader, the Terminator, Rick Santorum, is Donald Trump with a minus 56 approval rating. Minus 56.
So he's the worst thing in the world for America, according to this poll.
Worse than anything. Worse than Voldemort. Worse than anything you can imagine.
That, I think you were right at the beginning, Ralph, where you said the Washington Post has given up.
Yeah, that's them doing the, I'm going on break, everybody. The hand sign from a blackjack dealer in Vegas, where they just flip the hands. Good luck, everybody. We're out. And they just walk away from news. Because now that happened. That's a poll.
Come a long way since their coverage of Watergate.
Haven't they just? Charlie Sheen had to be treated by an emergency personnel for food poisoning.
I'm sure
that's what it was. Look, after having poisoned the rest of his body, it was only a matter of time until he got around to his stomach. But they say he's going to be okay, so everyone can relax. He is still winning, and he still has tiger blood, and he is still a Vatican assassin.
It's all good. It's all good, guys. Quit panicking.
No one panic.
Stop.
I've been riding it on a Mercury surfboard.
Yep. I'm sorry. What happened? And this sounds like a bad idea for a product, but what do I know? Breaking Bad fans may enjoy this. There's a new vodka out called Heisenberg Blue Ice Vodka, named after Walter White's Blue Ice Amphetamine.
Okay.
You can now get that in California and online. So if you like meth, maybe you'll like this vodka. Unless there's actual meth in the vodka.
That seems like that would be
I don't think I need Heisenberg's vodka.
It's a very timely arrival of the product, too.
It really is. Probably capitalizing on the white-hot fame.
Right. That's all anybody's talking about anymore is Breaking Bad.
Congratulations to John Bernthal, formerly of The Walking Dead. And, of course, he was in Fury with Brad Pitt as well. He has been tapped as the Punisher.
The Punisher.
That was the first. Punisher. That was Rick's deputy.
Yes. Yeah. Now he's the Punisher.
The Punisher. What's that about?
Punisher is a very popular Marvel Comics character who will be appearing in the second season of Netflix's Daredevil. People been waiting for a good Punisher for some time. Thomas Jane played him in a movie. Great character. Plays a former New York City police officer whose family is killed by the mob, so he goes on and becomes a vigilante.
And he punishes people.
People seem very happy with this casting.
They are very happy because John is a great cast. He looks like the character. He was great in Walking Dead. And
good actor.
Everyone's been waiting for a good Punisher for some time, and I think they got him. So.
He's a Punisher.
Allie, you faded off.
Are you afraid of the Punisher? Are you scared?
I think that's
Ralph said something about everybody waiting for it, and I think she was adding to that.
She wants to be punished by the Punisher.
That's what it sounds like, wait for a good Punisher. Yeah.
Certain parts of her body to be punished more than others.
That's what's happening.
That's
what
I think.
Yep.
Do you keep it in your car?
How dare you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gina Gershon is 53 years old today.
Wow,
still,
53.
Still smoking hot, by the way.
Yeah, that's great.
Right? Elizabeth Hurley is 50.
Wow.
Look, if you're born on June 10th, you're hot. That's just science. Actor DJ Qualls is 37 years old today. See? Hot.
I saw him in a trailer for some new show yesterday. I was wondering what he was going to do after Jim Jeffries, and it looked, I don't remember what it was now, but it looked really funny.
Just being hot.
And we love him. Yeah, he's so hot.
He's dreamy. Actor Shane West is 37. He's dreamy.
He actually is dreamy.
Comedian Bill Burr, our good friend Bill, celebrates his 47th birthday today. Lily Sobieski, the very talented and lovely actress, is 32. And a young lady by the name of Kate Upton celebrates a birthday today.
Are you kidding me?
Okay. All right.
This is the hottest birthday day ever.
Right? Kate's 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Tenacious D on the program later on today. Also, there's a little bit of a feud going on here at K-Rock, Kevin, that we may have to stand in between. It's former producer Lightning and assistant producer Christine. I mean, they are throwing down. Like, they need to be separated at this point.
How can anyone be upset at Christine?
Well, we're going to find out coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. But first, though, we have an update on a story we told you about yesterday, a hilarious and also perplexing story out of Ontario, California. It happened on Monday afternoon. Here's the way Channel 4 breathlessly reported the action Monday night on their newscast.
For the first time, customers still wiping their eyes as they describe a woman going on a rampage with pepper spray inside a fast food restaurant.
This happened at a Del Taco in Ontario this afternoon, all because that woman didn't like her order.
Now, we were talking yesterday about how bad could that order have been?
Right. It's a burrito from Del Taco.
Look, I love Del Taco, but if you're driving through a fast food restaurant, take what they give you, put it in your hole, shut the hell up.
Right. That's how it should work.
You don't really get to complain about that food, seriously, and especially this way.
This all began when a woman walked into this Del Taco you see behind me so she could complain about her order, specifically a burrito. Witnesses say the woman wanted to file a complaint, but started cursing and acting aggressively. They say she even picked up a bowl filled with business cards and threw it at the workers before heading to the parking lot. The manager followed her.
Now, don't do that.
Outside to get the woman's license plate, but that's when witnesses say the woman began spraying the manager with pepper spray. The woman then chased the manager inside and began spraying everyone, including customers. We spoke to one customer who got sprayed right in her face.
I don't know what to think. I never had pepper spray in my face, but it was terrible. Uh-huh. It's awful.
I couldn't believe it. It was surreal.
Those people are bringing it to life, I'll tell you that.
Look, it escalated quickly from I don't like my burrito to I'm pepper spraying everybody in the place. What could have possibly been wrong with that burrito? Like, what went wrong? We had so many questions yesterday, and I'm delighted to say that we may have an update, Kevin, because Channel 4 has brought out of retirement the great Doug Kriegel. He is on the scene.
Oh, specialist.
Joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. I think we have him via remote hookup in the parking lot of the Del Taco in Ontario. Mr. Kriegel, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. We very much appreciate you being out there bright and early today trying to get to the latest on this story. What can you tell us?
Yes, on Monday it happened here at this Del Taco restaurant, as you can see behind me.
What's that?
Here in the corner of Mountain Avenue and G Street, where the horrible burrito dispute took place and the heinous assault via bowl of business cards.
Now, have you been able to find out, have you been able to talk to anybody, Doug, who can tell us what lady's problem was with the burrito?
I have a gentleman with me right now who was actually a witness here at the Del Taco.
Oh. Wait, what?
Sir, can you tell us first of all, sir, what are you wearing?
A yellow bikini.
Why are you wearing that? That's ridiculous.
Not out.
What? Can you tell us what you saw in your own words, please?
Yeah, apparently the lady ordered a macho combo burrito.
Yes, macho.
She wanted a Del Classic chicken.
Classic.
And they gave her, they gave her the macho, and she didn't like that.
Well, you can understand her rage.
I really can't. Why didn't she just go to the counter and say, I'm sorry, I got the wrong order. Would you mind giving me what I ordered?
Sir, do you have any answers?
She was a raving lunatic, but I see her point. It's inexcusable. When you order a burrito at Del Taco, you expect to get the right one.
Did you actually get pepper sprayed yourself by any chance?
Yeah, I got a remnant of pepper spray in my left eye, and I had a call and sick to work, so it all worked out.
What is it that you do with your left eye that's so important?
You may be off topic.
I look through telescopes.
There you have it.
He looks through telescopes.
We're not finished with that guy.
This telescopist not only got the horrors that are pepper spray in one eye, but actually lost some of his well-earned wages
because what?
Because of the pepper spray in his eye.
Doug, that is some excellent reporting.
It's crazy that a place that features hot sauce would also have pepper spray.
When you think about it, I guess it is.
Irony.
Yeah.
That's called irony.
So, Doug, is Channel 4 going to keep you out there for 14 hours today to report on this story like they
do? It is Burrito Watch 2015.
Fantastic.
I will be here just in case the crazy lady in scrubs comes back and starts spraying pepper spray.
I'm sorry. We lost you there at the end there, Doug. Say again,
there's
please.
There's a lady in scrubs there in the front. Excuse me, miss. Miss, can I talk to you? Ah! Ah! Oh, God. Oh, God, it burns! Oh, it burns! Oh, God, it's spraying my face! It burns! Oh, God. That tastes pretty good.
Hey, next hour, how about winning some tickets to see Mumford & Sons at the Forum, or Florence and the Machine at the Hollywood Bowl, of Monsters and Men at the Greek, or Imagine Dragons at the Forum or Honda Center? A lot of great K-Rock shows coming up. We got them for you all week long here on the Kevin Abine Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. You should check out the details, my friend, at krock.com.
We have a lot of different features where we make fun of each other. I'm the butt of most of them. However, would you like to take that back? I'm sort of free of. So I enjoy this feature very much. This is, we're going to play a clip from the show, and then we're going to give you a chance to back it up or take it back.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you take that back?
Now, I know you're trying to put a positive spin on this, Kevin, but couldn't you also say the reason you don't make any three-pointers is because you don't shoot any three-pointers?
Yeah, very much so, because
this segment is based largely on wordplay and puns and you know.
Which I'm not really
knowing things about stuff. So
How dare you? You
really don't participate that
I'm
much.
Not a big fan of wordplay.
Right.
Okay. All right, how's she been looking for this edition?
Oh, because she's
been coming on strong in recent weeks.
It is a battle.
Oh, I'll tell you right now.
She Bean is coming in, and she's unseating the reigning champ, who is Bean.
Oh. All right, let's see how it goes.
So let's start with this one.
I don't hate Johnny Depp's dogs, but I dislike the way that someone comes into our nation.
All right, so Ralph is showbiz. He's talking about Johnny Depp. He brought his dogs in illegally. They wanted to put him down or something.
And doesn't go through the proper process. Basically, you're standing away from the law of this nation.
Why was he didgeridooing?
Because that's what they do.
That is
there.
What they do. That's true.
They didgeridoo.
Oh.
File.
Just file.
Wow, I didn't see
that
coming.
Allie
was going to sneak in right there at the end, man. Yeah. Just own it.
She's got that little secret style where she slips it in without most of the time anyone hearing it, I think. That's what they didgeridoo. So, Allie.
Yeah.
Would you like to take that back?
I mean, if you were to go back in time and relive that moment, would you leave that little nugget out?
I think I would leave it out.
Oh,
wow.
I think I'll take that one back.
See, and I wouldn't have. If you had asked me that, I wouldn't have.
But you're
because that's perfectly on point. That is right there. That is.
I think if I sold it better.
You know, maybe it was your performance you were
found. It was my performance that I wasn't proud of. So I will indeed take that back.
I can see that maybe.
All right. Okay. So she's taking that back. Very good. Bean is up next.
Go, Bean.
Hard to imagine. Ralph is talking about Dancing with the Stars and how they judge it.
The Mirror Ball Trophy, Kevin, the coveted Mirror Ball Trophy, will be awarded tonight after the viewer scores are added in.
Oh, that's exciting.
It is exciting. Only Noah Galloway and his partner scored a little less than a perfect 10. The other two couples got perfect 10s on their dances.
I don't know how he is as a dancer. I loved him in Oasis.
Jeez. That's Noel.
And Gallagher.
Yeah.
sorry.
Not Noah not Galloway. The
same thing at all. Yeah.
Different name.
Would you like to take that back?
Wow. Okay, I'll take that one back.
You son of a bitch.
I'll take it back. I didn't hate it when I heard it back, but it also was unnecessary. I will take it back. I'll throw that one back in the pond.
All right. So far, so good. Ralph's continuing with showbiz. He's doing birthdays.
Who guitarist Pete Townsend celebrates his 70th birthday?
He's the guitarist for who?
File.
Would you like to take that back?
Man, he's a room killer. Isn't
that
he?
Is.
That theme's a room killer.
By the way, that joke right there is in his wheelhouse as well. Like, that's being at his best.
Look, it was funny when Abbott and Costello did it 70 years ago, and it's just as funny today. No, sir, I will not take that back.
You're saying that joke equals Abbott and Costello.
I'm saying that joke holds up. That joke is now and forever much like Cats.
What about this one?
Who guitarist Pete Townsend turned 70 today?
I'm sorry, he's the guitarist for who?
Twice?
Really? You're going to go back to that well? It's got poisoned.
That was terrible.
Stop
the
drinking
first time.
From it.
Got a whole new audience, you guys. Want them to enjoy that.
Would you like to take that back?
Even funnier the second time around. Hell no, I won't take it back.
Wow.
We got a problem.
We have a big problem.
We got a problem.
All right. Let's try to make it through this one and understand what's going on, because I've listened to it three times and I think I understand what Allie was going for.
Okay.
I think. No. But only after Ralph explained it to people who quote didn't get it, which of course was me.
He did get his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday, and a little bit of a surprise as well.
Talking about Bobby Flay.
While he was getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, a plane circled overhead with a banner that read "Cheater" trailing behind it.
Oh, now this is now getting interesting.
Word is the aircraft circled for about an hour, and they're just guessing here, could be the work of his tremendously bitter estranged wife, Stephanie March, who accused him of infidelity during their ugly divorce battle.
Well, sexually based offenses are considered especially heinous, so it makes sense.
Stephanie March, by the way, if you didn't get that reference, is the star of Law & Order SVU.
Wow.
Really?
I'm dizzy from that one.
Yeah. It's from the
that
intro.
That was a haymaker. Wow. That just
takes the wind right out of
wind
you.
Out of me.
Yeah. It's rough.
I'm going to need some time to come back from that.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
What's past the file? What's for a worse offense
furnace?
Than one that goes in the file? We have to put it in the furnace.
Put that in the furnace, don't we?
I think so.
Don't we just burn it? We don't even revisit it. We just burn it on the spot?
Would you like to take that back?
Wow.
Again.
I feel like you have to.
I mean, are you kidding?
Judge and jury. We already ruled.
Are you kidding?
It's in the furnace, Allie. I don't know how you get it out of the furnace.
Well, I take it out of the furnace. I pat it down with awesome sauce. And I stick somewhere that's wonderful, because I am not taking it back. That is SUV gold.
SVU.
Put that in the next file.
Would you like to take that back?
Woo for you.
Ooh, 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 Otto Mendo. The song's pretty good, and I'm going to leave it. Ooh, Otto Mendo. Celebration. Aggravation.
It's Real Timmy's K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
You guys remember that band Cold War Kids? They played the Weenie Roast a couple weeks ago. Very good. They got
love
that song. Hang Me Up to Dry, I think it's called. They are going to be here in the building at K-Rock today at 2 p.m. doing a free show that you can watch online at krock.com. They're going to be appearing in the newly renamed Scott Mason Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock at 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you like the Cold War Kids, definitely check it out at krock.com. All right, Wednesday morning, Rob is here now. Time for another look at the show. Bisbee, what's going on?
Only good things. Now that Jaden Smith is acting again, that's all we care about.
That is good news.
It is great news. The wildly talented Jaden Smith has just been cast in Baz Luhrmann's upcoming Netflix musical drama series, The Get Down. What? Yeah, apparently he will play, in the words of Baz Luhrmann, a psychedelically talented and enigmatic graffiti writer raised in the South Bronx. Hey, Jaden, less acting, a little more tweeting, okay? Get back
That's
to
right.
what you do right.
He will play Dizzy Kipling, is the name of the character. Younger son of Ra-Ra and Boo-Boo Kipling.
Is what you're saying true?
This is all true.
Okay.
It's all happening.
All right.
We, as an audience, have known Jaden since he was very young, said Baz Luhrmann. Yes. And from the time he was very young, Baz, we knew he could not act. Rent a little thing called After Earth. Take a look. Then get back to me, Baz. I'll be here. Call me, Baz.
You are talking about The Karate Kid, though, man.
Yes. Yes, he was in that movie as well. Also not good in it.
But he was in it.
Look, it's hard to hold the screen up against acting powerhouse Jackie Chan. Let's face it.
It's true.
Maybe not his fault. Here's a TV series I can get behind. NBC has announced a new series called Better Late Than Never. It's an upcoming reality adventure series.
Where you think you're pregnant, and then last minute, nope.
Nope. It's not that at all, Allie.
Surprise, no baby.
It's a story of five older men traveling together through Asia in search of intimate, life-changing experiences. Hello, Thaler. Plus, they have stuff on their bucket lists that they need to check off. Here's your cast. Henry Winkler, William Shatner, Terry Bradshaw.
What?
George Foreman. And comedian Jeff Dye. Who's Jeff? Who the F is Jeff Dye?
I don't know who that young comic is. I think he's in his 30s. That sounds
odd. Weird.
Maybe he'll be their spirit guide or something. Yes, as they all travel better late than never.
I love that cast.
The Fonz, Captain Kirk, Terry Bradshaw, and George Foreman. All traveling through Asia together. Just getting rubbing tugs at the local massage parlor.
That has a tremendous amount of potential.
Yes.
But it will be
potential
terrible.
Potential to be what, though?
It will be terrible, right?
Potential to be poop?
But it'll be entertaining.
I'm watching. I'll tell you that damn much.
Yeah, it may not be good, but it'll be entertaining.
I mean, look, Terry Bradshaw and George Foreman, they can't act, but they're immensely likable, funny guys.
Right.
Shatner and Winkler, the same, plus they can act.
Yes.
It's a good common, a lot of talent in that room.
Look, I'm saying I'm watching. What more do you want from me?
Why won't you watch it, Ralph? Why do you refuse?
I have been in from the beginning. We already said we're going to watch. Who are you selling?
There's a lot of reason to give this show a chance, you guys. I'm just saying, why so down on it?
Bean has full conversations in his head that have nothing to do with what's going on with the rest of
That's
humanity.
That's always been true.
He's just like, they're just refusing to watch this thing. I'm going to keep talking. Just nothing from the outside world penetrates. It's insane.
Why won't they watch it? I don't understand.
I'm going to convince them. I'm not giving up yet. I'm going to hold my ground.
So you hate Henry Winkler. That's what I'm hearing.
What if they gave each of them a suitcase full of $100,000?
Oh, now we're talking.
And Miley Cyrus tells Paper Magazine this month that she's bisexual. Oh, Miley, you are so shocking. Please stop. You are really throwing us with all of your sexiness. I'm literally open to every single thing that is consenting and doesn't open it, that doesn't involve an animal and anyone is of age, she said. Everything that's legal, I'm down with, yo. Oh, Miley, you are so scandalous.
She is crazy.
We are all titillated by your scandalous behavior. And your nipples.
Hey, you're definitely titillated by those.
Oh. All right. On that, I'm going to get out of here. Now
no,
I'm just going to get out of here.
I'm saying because
today's celebrity birthdays.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Is this thing on?
Yes.
Sadly, yes.
When will you realize that?
Douchebag.
Come on.
Why don't you guys watch that show? I think you should watch it. Gina Gershon is 53 years old today. Legendary star, of course, of Showgirls, one of the greatest films ever to be filmed on celluloid. Elizabeth Hurley's 50. Kate Upton is 23. Lily Sobieski's 32. Bill Burr is 47. Jane West is 37. And DJ Qualls is 37 as well. All those stars born on today, June 10th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What happened last week? I was out sick, and then all of a sudden, Lightning's coming in, and he's like, wants to fight Christine. What's going on?
Essentially, yeah, that's what's going on here, Kevin. Christine showed up one day at work, and she was just in tears, and mascara just running out of her face. And we're like, oh, honey buddy, what's going on? And she's like, lightning's mean. And we're like, what happened? So you've recovered a little bit now. You've got your composure back, Christine. How did you get attacked online by somebody who you considered a friend and a colleague?
Like a long-term friend. Somebody who, like, I really like. I know his family. Mm-hmm. So I...
New, by the way, new. Go ahead.
I had gone to the YouTube show at the Roxy. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I thought, gosh, I should take some video to post on Instagram just because it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I thought, this is the fun thing to share with people on social media. So I took a bunch of it, and then at the end I realized I had some pretty good video because mm-hmm. just the sound was good. The video, not great because I'm short, but...
so you're looking at people's butts, but you can hear the band
right,
pretty well.
Right, totally. But I thought, you know, I bet a couple of my friends who are also big YouTube fans would love to see this. So I quickly edited it together, never done this before on iMovie, and I thought, oh, that's kind of a fun video. Just, you know, a little amateur thing. So Lightning happens to walk in the office at that exact time, and I say, hey, Jay, just because he was there, and this is what he do, right?
Yeah. Right.
So I said, hey, when you shoot something on iMovie, just kind of a technical question, like, do you do this? And he looked at me, took one look at my video on my phone, and literally... It was like the gates of hell opened up. You would have thought I might have murdered a puppy. Like, that's how angry he was at me because the video I took was square because of Instagram.
Before we talk to you, Lightning, Christine is the nicest person in the world.
Sure, yeah.
So you show up. You've got a lot of energy on this topic already, clearly.
I did. I would take a bullet for Christine. Like, she watches my kids like this is...
Right.
But I just...
Until that day.
Blew a gasket.
Until that day, right. Yeah. Now she's dead to you. So the problem is when somebody holds their phone up, they normally look at it in a vertical way and they shoot the video in a vertical way. And then when it gets posted in most ways on the internet, it has black bands on both sides of the
photo rather
than turning it horizontal and filling the full frame like you would if you were looking at a TV or a movie screen.
Yes, drives me completely mad.
All right, hold right there.
Yeah.
Hold right there.
Okay.
Why?
Why does it drive me mad?
Can I answer this question?
Okay. Yes, Christine, please.
In the process of our conversation... Mm. Lightning said a couple of things that were so amazing that I literally wrote them down. I brought notes.
Yeah, bring it. Go for it.
He says to me, I asked him, first of all, why do you care? Mm-hmm. You know, why does this matter to you? And he said, because it has been decided by the government and people who decide these things that we as a society watch videos vertically.
No, horizontally.
Excuse me. Yeah. Horizontally. And so I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, the deciders decided that we can only watch videos.
I've never heard Lightning or anybody else I know argue the standpoint of government.
It has been decided in society.
So, look, we have agreed as a society and as a group of engineers,
right?
That video is best displayed in a horizontal format, right?
Sure, right. Now, let me ask you, Christine.
Specifically, 69.
Is that true? Do you watch TV and movies in a horizontal fashion?
Yes, but if you are on social media and you're on Instagram, shooting a video vertically allows you to post it better on Instagram because you have the left and right margins already set, right?
Yes.
And if you use things like Snapchat, it's all vertical now.
Sure. Let's not even get into Aaron Spiegel and his BS Snapchat, all right? Let's not go there.
Right.
Let's This is about... not cutting off the periphery. There's so much information on the left and the right. We all have two eyes. We see to the left and the right.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
So you walk in and you see Christine did it that way.
Yes.
She's perfectly happy with it.
Yes.
Okay. How much can you care?
No, I care a lot.
Because it's not your video.
But here's the thing.
You didn't shoot it.
Here's the thing.
You didn't shoot it to go on YouTube. She didn't shoot it to go on
YouTube. Hear my thing, Kevin. So she... shot this video for the sole purpose of sharing it with friends.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Now, the platform she chose that moment was Instagram.
Which is what she chooses all the time. Great.
But you should always shoot in the best quality possible for archival. Like, you should just... Kevin, you're never going to know when you shoot something that TMZ may want. You're never going to...
What are you... Maybe Harvey will want this.
If you want to show your family later on your big screen TV, you want to show people on your computer, you want to show people the full frame. She won't just be on Instagram. That video she will keep on her phone and she'll reference it later at some point as a square. Right. So why not fill the frame with as much information as you can get?
So I asked him that same question. I said, Jay, why do you care so much about how I shot this video? Why does it matter to you? And in like a guttural, like shaky voice, like deep, deep delivery,
oh,
he goes.
Seen him this way. He's about to lose it.
Because someone has to care.
Yes. Like someone does have to care.
Literally.
It's me.
May I ask a question here, Mr. Lightning? And by the way, I'm Team Lightning on this. I hate vertical videos. Every week when we do an internet roundup,
it drives
me crazy how many of the videos are vertical. I hate it. Okay, but Christine makes
how
a good point.
You...
If she's shooting for Instagram and it looks better on Instagram, that makes sense to me. And if she had shot it the way you wanted, which is horizontally, then what does she do when she wants to put that YouTube video up on Instagram?
Yeah, so Instagram allows you to import videos. So you can shoot it in horizontally
right.
in 16:9, and then just click the import button and bring that into Instagram, and it automatically crops the left and the right. It does the same thing as if she had held her phone incorrectly vertically.
So much harder to arbitrarily, when you're looking at your phone, figure out what the parameters on the left and right are versus top and bottom. It's just easier.
But I will
and
say
why
this.
Does it matter?
I could get you a set of horse blinders and that would help you. If you only saw right in front of you, would that help?
Lightning
it
and
might.
Bean.
Because
for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How much can you care?
Look, there were 89.5 million computers sold in the U.S. last year. 30 million televisions.
Yes,
okay. And none of them were vertical.
Right?
Right?
And?
So don't shoot vertical video.
How much can you care?
I
how
care
is your
all.
Entire life wrapped up
well,
in how Christine
it's
shot
not
video at the U2 show?
One video.
It's not. But I'm at U2 as well, and I'm seeing all these people hold up their phones vertically, and I thought, that's going to show up on YouTube with two black bars.
Right.
Why?
Okay, hold on right there. How bad is that?
Because then I only get Bono. I want the edge, and I want, you know, I want the whole band. Give me the whole periphery. I don't just want a sliver.
All right, Bean, to you, how
yes
bad is that vertical video with the bars on the sides? Because
it's terrible.
It's not
because
terrible.
It's like you're looking at 30% of a screen.
Yes.
That's what it's like. It's like you're missing two-thirds of whatever was happening in front of you. And that just doesn't make sense. If what Lightning is saying is true, that you can shoot it horizontally and then easily import it to Snapchat or Instagram and have it appear vertically as you choose, that just seems like
it's,
a win.
It's
that seems like the way to go.
Easy,
it is
it's
that
not
easy.
It's time-consuming.
It's one
you're in
click
the moment. You just want to do it that way just
then
way
you're just being, then you're saying, all right, my excuse is laziness because I couldn't do that one extra
or
click.
Or we don't care.
You should care.
Look,
no.
You should
look,
care.
I can look at this argument from behind and go, all right, well, he has a point. It would probably be better if all
yes
video were that way.
Right.
Okay. So what?
I think you're looking at it from a point of everything you do, you want it to go viral. You want the clicks. You want that from a work standpoint.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
listen,
sure.
Listen,
yes.
All right,
that's your
so
job.
Let's look back. So everyone has those videos shot when they were a kid, and they look back at them like, wow, that is crappy quality. I'm glad I have the video, but boy, I wish it didn't have the grain, or I wish it wasn't shot the way it was, or wish my parents had a better camera. So start with the best quality video you can because you're going to want this stuff later. And if you don't, you hit delete. But if you want to save it, you're like, oh, good. I saved the full frame. I saved
right
as
I'm
much
not saying
like,
that's
yeah
not probably the
right
best way to do it. How much can you care?
Let's talk to Juan,
you know,
real quick.
I'm sorry.
Juan is streaming the show. He's on board this morning from Fresno, California, and he's on line one to weigh in with a comment. Juan, thanks for calling. What's going on, man?
I have to agree with Lightning. I recently got proposed. I proposed myself. I apologize. And my
you proposed to yourself? Can
yeah
you say yes?
Yes, you chucklehead. I proposed to my fiance. My sister-in-law recorded it.
Right.
He had the audacity to record it horizontal and vertical. You have no idea how that drives me nuts.
So she did
her, right?
Both ways.
You murdered her.
She killed me. It just hurts me to show the video now. Like,
yeah,
video
it's rough. It can be rough.
That's so sad. A beautiful moment ruined
yes
by
why,
that
yeah,
why
yeah
don't you delete that and re-propose to your girlfriend and
agree
shoot it right?
Do it the right
I
way.
Agree.
There you
yes
go. Thank you, Juan. Good
yes
luck. Let's do one more. This is Jim. He's in L.A. He's weighing in with an opinion as well. Jim, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Sorry if the reception's kind of bad.
No worries.
I want to get something straight about this whole technical thing. First of all, it's not vertical and horizontal if you want to be technical. It's portrait and landscape.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We got it.
Yes,
and how does that make a difference to the discussion?
Because you're talking about how technical people want it this way and how the millions of TVs were sold. Well, in the studios, we don't call them TVs. First of all, we call them monitors.
Okay. All right.
Thanks
all right
for
listen
nothing, Jim. Here's what I want to say,
right.
Lightning. Jim is you.
No. Listen,
he
I have
is very you.
I have a public service announcement.
All TVs are 16:9. And so you should shoot it that way.
Yeah,
should. It is true, and you probably should.
Just, guys, people, don't be lazy. And listen, iPhone built – you know what? When you hold an iPhone, it's got the up and down volume.
Yes.
The up volume also triggers video, and so if you turn it sideways, you can hold it like an old school camera and shoot video horizontally or landscape,
what
as our friend on the phone would like
hand?
To say. You can still hold it with one hand and press the button. Yes, you can. Well, then
what if you have a drink in both hands?
Well, then you're shooting video.
What if you don't have hands?
That's a good point, Allie.
Right? Thank you.
I have a PSA that I would like to play for Christine about what I like to call vertical video syndrome.
Say no to vertical videos.
Vertical videos happen when you hold your camera the wrong way. Your video will end up looking like crap.
There are two different kinds of people who are afflected with VVS. The first group treats the videos they shoot like pictures. They don't mean any harm. They just don't understand that while you can turn a picture, you can't really turn a video.
The other group is people who don't give a sh**.
See? Just don't give an S. And you should.
Okay. All right.
Oh, God. I can't
Good
even.
Good chat. You go someplace else. Vivian Quintana from Chino Hills got tickets to see Mumford & Sons at the Forum. Your chance to win tickets coming up on the world-famous K-Rock.
That's a pretty sweet deal. Thank you so much for listening, Vivian. Clint Eastwood. I was just saying this to Kevin yesterday because he hates old people. And I was just saying, what about Clint Eastwood being 85 years old and still not only working, still not only being a director, but being one of the best directors in America today? I mean, he just did American Sniper last year, right? One of the biggest box office hits of the year. He's 85 years old, Clint Eastwood, doing tremendous work. He also has got a little bit crazy in recent years. Ever since Gran Torino, I think he started to turn into that guy. he's so, hey, you foreigners, get off my lawn guy. I think President Obama has really bugged him a lot. He seems to be leaning a lot more right these days and a little more politically incorrect. Maybe that's something that comes with being 85 years old. I don't know. But he's back in the news, a little bit of controversy. This past weekend was a taping of an event on Spike TV called the Guys Choice Awards. It doesn't air until next week, but one line you will not see on the telecast is something that Clint Eastwood said when he was talking about former athletes who go into show business. And he made a reference to Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. And then he also talked about Jim Brown, football player, became an actor, and then Caitlin somebody. So clearly he's talking about Bruce Jenner, who was an Olympic champion and then ended up going into acting and television. And
but did he forget the punchline?
A lot of people think that it was kind of a swipe at the fact that the former Bruce Jenner has now transgendered into Caitlyn Jenner. And it was his way of signaling that his disapproval with what she's done. Like, I'm not even going to dignify her by calling her by her name. A lot of people were kind of offended by that. And Spike TV is not taking a risk of putting on the show, so they're just going to cut that line out. You're just not even going to see that when the telecast airs. But maybe Mr. Eastwood was just misunderstood. Maybe he was an attempt at humor, and we didn't get it, so we thought we'd get him back on the phone and see what's going on with the great Clint Eastwood, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Clint. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are very good. It's an honor to talk to you. We're just discussing your controversy at the Spike TV Guys' Choice Awards. Can you tell us what happened, sir?
Yeah, I went on stage. Did some goddamn funny comedy.
Okay. Right. Did you hear us just reading it a second ago? Because that didn't.
Yep, and I'm goddamn doubled over with laughter.
But it's The Rock and Jim Brown and Caitlin somebody. Like, what was the joke? What was the joke there, Clint?
Oh, that's a good one.
What are you talking about? That's not even a joke.
Right.
But, Clint, like when you were talking to the chair at the Republican National Convention a few years ago, I'm sure you thought that was hilarious, but the rest of us were just confused by it.
That was goddamn hilarious.
Okay.
You guys don't know comedy.
Well, we may not, but help us understand.
Starting my next career as a stand-up comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Clint Eastwood.
All right, I like that you brought props, but let's hear some jokes. Like, what do you consider funny?
I've been working on some material.
All right, good.
I guess I'll try it out with you fellas.
All right.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Obama.
Obama who?
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, I think that gets a political message across, yeah. But is it funny?
Ah, it's hilarious.
Oh. It is hilarious. Okay.
Hey.
Yes.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
To get to the other side?
Get away from illegal aliens. Right?
Why were the illegal aliens on that side of the road?
That's a goddamn good question. If they got through the fence.
Wow.
So a priest and a rabbi walk into a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender says, "Who let the Catholic and the Jew in here?" Right?
But what's the joke there? You're just describing the two guys that are standing in front of the bar.
Exactly.
No, but what's the comment? Well, like, what's the angle that's funny?
Yeah. Seeing that I have a .44 Magnum,
yeah,
the most powerful handgun in the world.
Right. We remember
you
that line.
Ask yourself a question.
From your movie. We got it.
40-year-old movie.
Do I like black people?
What?
Well, do I?
I hope so.
That's a good one.
Our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, joins us in studio. Hey, David. How are you, sir?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
David does a great job of keeping track of all the best viral videos of the week and putting them up for us. And before we get into this week's Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, I just want to say it's kind of a significant morning here because Omar has blessed us with a new Roundup theme. And you know how much fun that is.
Oh.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Hit it, Steve.
Wake up. And watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the whole thing?
That's it.
Yeah. Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, it's a good batch this week. Sadly, Parks and Recreation is no longer on the air. I think one of the funniest shows of the 21st century, Amy Poehler, Nick Offerman, and everybody on the show. And they have just come out with the final season, I think, on DVD. And along with that is a gag reel and bloopers behind the scenes. I mean, there's 30 minutes of outtakes from Parks and Rec. And here's an idea of how great it is.
Every hero struggles with failure, faces something they cannot do. Andy had one of those moments where he faced something just like that a few years ago.
Athlete's foot of the butt.
No, it was.
I love listening to them crack up. And, you know, you watch a show like that, and you go, how do they get through those scenes? How do they say those funny things? And the answer is they don't. The answer is it takes 25 times before they finally get it on the air. The Game of Thrones recaps. We have two of them up for you, Episodes 8 and Episode 9 of the current season. This is from Funny or Die. Our favorite hairdresser, John, is back to describe the action on HBO's Game of Thrones.
So then Jon Snow faces off against a very scary Gandalf. So they're fighting, they're twerking, they're doing the most, but then he totally, like, kills him with that sword.
You think that motherfucker had a dragon glass sword?
No, I'm pretty sure that was Valyrian Steel, girl.
Valyrian Steel's a good porn name.
And that's the way those recaps go. Dave, do you think that Honest Trailers is doing the best work they've ever done right now?
They are on fire. They're picking good movies, too.
Good movies and so funny. Now, Kevin, when you and I were just talking off the air about this new Jurassic World that's coming out this weekend, what did you think of the Jurassic Park Lost World movie, which I think was the sequel of the original Jurassic
Yes.
Park? Did you like that one?
I don't remember that one.
That's the one where they go to San Diego, where they come back to San Diego, and there's a T-Rex in San Diego.
Oh, yes.
And Jeff Goldblum's daughter's doing gymnastics, and it's terrible.
Not so good.
Well, Honest Trailers took it on, and they make fun of everybody in the movie, including Julianne Moore in this clip.
Get to know Ian's paleontologist girlfriend, Sarah. She's the worst. Watch as this bumbling Miss Magoo constantly harasses the dinosaurs, steals a baby T-Rex that gets Toby from the West Wing killed, walks around with T-Rex blood on her jacket, and generally makes life harder on everyone else around her. Wait, are we supposed to be rooting for the dinosaurs or the people?
That is a great question. Honest Trailers also did up Entourage, as you know, 8 seasons of that show on HBO and now in theaters with a big screen version. And I sense that they really didn't care for it that much.
HBO already hit it big with 4 self-absorbed women treating New York City like their personal sex playground. Now, get ready for the exact same thing with dudes in Los Angeles, but not just any LA, Doug Ellen's fantasy version of LA. Full of beebs, butts, babes, bros, brunch, bongs, and no black people. Seriously, almost everyone in the city is white.
According to Entourage, that is actually true. Allie, you seem to love 80s movies.
I do.
Where are you on the Goonies?
I love Goonies. Goonies is a classic.
Yeah.
I would say.
Well, it just celebrated its 30th anniversary, and our friend DJ Mike Realm did a fantastic Goonies remix. Check this out.
Goonies never say die.
Mike Realm's incredible, and we've been lucky enough to see him live at our Kevin Bean April Foolishness. I mean, what he does with video on top of how great he makes the songs, he really is the best at doing what he is doing. You got to check this one out.
See, Truffle Butter and the Truffle Shuffle together.
See?
Oh,
right?
That's great.
Last week, we brought you the video of Shia LaBeouf, who is basically just screaming for 30 minutes. And you can imagine there's a bunch of parodies of that, including our friends the Gregory Brothers, who have managed to songify some of the best of Shia's video.
You should get to the point where anyone else who quit, you're gonna wake up and work hard at it. Just do it, nothing is impossible. Just do it, yesterday you said tomorrow. Just do it, don't let your dreams be dreams. And more often you do it, the world like there will be.
A video does a remix, you guys. That's what we've learned. James Franco also decided to parody the Shia LaBeouf video, but he did it in a video that's about toilet training.
Just do it! Just do it! Just poo in the toilet! Do you want to keep pooping in your little diapers? Just poop in the toilet! All those other little kids are pooping in their pants! You said you would do it yesterday! Do it! In the toilet!
What?
Just
oh, God.
Poo it! Just poo it!
There it is. I'm sure that was Omar's favorite video of the week. You know how he do. Jimmy Fallon welcomed the very talented Ed Sheeran to The Tonight Show the other day, and they did a kind of a funny bit of Ed singing songs you maybe wouldn't expect him to do, like rap songs and hardcore songs. And I think this one, Ed Sheeran is, if I remember correctly from the video, is doing some Limp Bizkit.
It's all about the he says, she says bull. I think you better quit talking that. Oh, you be leaving with a fat lip. It's all about the he says, she says, boo.
I want the whole song of that, by the way.
Yeah,
I think that's
very not even very Ed good. Sheeran could make that song good.
Yeah, you could be right, Dave. Who's better than Jimmy Kimmel and his mean tweets bit?
Nobody.
Right? It's so funny. He does this all the time with actors. And, of course, this time of year, he's doing his primetime NBA shows on ABC. And he gets all of the biggest stars in the NBA to read tweets that actual people have written to the actual people. And I guess they play along because they think it's funny, too. But some of the stuff people write is so hilarious.
Draymond Green looked like Donkey from Shrek.
Goodbye, Blake Griffin, you soft ginger hair-colored Lindsay Lohan freckled-faced two-headed bitch. Take your ass home, bitch. Wow, all caps, huh? Maybe we'll throw in some lowercase next time.
That's a whole bunch of NBA stars in that one. You'll like it. Jimmy also did Lie Witness News out on the street in front of Staples Center this week. Kevin, you're going to love this so much because he's making fun of the fact that maybe a lot of LA sports fans are kind of bandwagging or maybe not really paying that much attention. So he's talking to people about how they feel about the Clippers being in the NBA Finals. Now, of course, the Clippers are not in the NBA Finals. Sorry, Dave.
That's hurt.
But on the street, don't realize that.
Will you be watching Game 8 tonight?
I will be watching Game 8 tonight.
And where is that?
Just at a bar by my house.
Now, do you think that Chris Paul will ever recover from the t-shirt cannon mishap?
I hope so. I hope so. I'm sure he did not mean any harm by it, personally.
You see that happen?
Yes, I did.
Pretty awful.
I think everyone saw it.
Can you just describe it for me?
I don't want to describe it.
It's pretty gruesome.
It was a little bad.
You see, Kevin, people care.
People care. That's right.
Okay.
And finally on this week's roundup, this guy is great. It's almost too good to be true. It's almost like he's acting, Dave. You think he's real, little Walker in the hospital?
Oh.
No way he's...
No way is he acting.
You think this is legit? All right.
Yes.
He broke his arm in two places, and they knocked him out to set the arm because it was very badly broken. They used something called ketamine and also propofol. And when he wakes up, he has no idea where he is. He's startled to wake up and find himself in a hospital bed. And then he is amazed by the fact that he has a cast. And apparently, according to the mom who posted this video, shot vertically, by the way, apparently every single time he would doze off and wake back up, he had the same reaction, and that he was shocked to find out that he had a cast on. It's pretty awesome.
Where am I?
I'm a cast! Whoa!
That's a good idea.
Where'd my cast go? Where's my arm?
Your arm's here.
I can't find my arm. There's my arm.
It's my cast. Walker, you're crazy.
You don't have a tequila, do you?
You're crazy.
I don't think he needs it.
For me.
I have a cast on.
Yes, you did. Why not?
Whoa.
He sure was surprised to see that he had a cast on. That's Little Walker. You need to check that out and all the videos at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
And now, a moment with Allie.
That is SUV gold.
SVU.
That was a moment with Allie.
Yeah. Law and Order SUV. I love that show.
Sure.
They all pile into a Ford Expedition.
It was going to a crime. So good until then.
That's what makes a lot of sense that Allie and other people who live in their cars would enjoy Law and Order SUV, though, when you think about it.
Ching, ching, ding, 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 ding. Oh, she's dead in the back seat. Boom, boom.
Hey, what about Tenacious D coming in, talking about Festival Supreme later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show? And coming up right after 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to somebody who is behind Camp No Counselor, which sounds awesome, by the way. It's a summer camp for adults. Ralph, you're going to go and you're going to like it.
It's not a summer camp for adults.
It's a summer camp for people for the rest of development.
We'll
discuss and find out what
old
it's all about.
Children. It's a camp for old children.
Stop looking at me.
Old child.
First, though, type of the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
Hey! Where did that come from?
Dave just brought it in. You wacko.
God damn it.
Don't drop it on the floor.
Oh, is it on the floor?
Oh, how about that, Ralph? Think that was magic?
I did. I thought it was a miracle.
Here's what happens, boys and girls, is that Ralph has a marker and he's got it bent just right.
That's right, so I can do this.
It's a red Sharpie.
A red Sharpie that I use as a tiny little billy club when I walk the beat.
And we have 20 of them here, but he has
not
to have
the
right one.
And if people take it and they use it, they don't put it back.
If he can't find it, he storms over by me and over by Allie.
Because you have taken it and used it before.
So you threw it on the ground, apparently.
I did not throw it on the ground. I must have slipped from its case at some point. I have a velvet case I keep it in. And usually my bearer, Punjab, follows me around and keeps it in a safe velvet case that I have. It's mahogany, and it's got a lock on it.
But you're a little crazy about that marker.
Slipped out. I'm rattled today because it's a sad day. Sad, sad day.
It's a sad day?
Yes.
What happened?
On this day in 1793, Philadelphia ended its reign as the capital of the United States. Bad day for us in Philly. It was a bad. We mourn this day.
You remember living through that?
Who could forget it?
In 17 what?
93. Who could forget the day we lost the capital to see?
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
Well, people who liked Philadelphia being the capital care.
It's because you
Philadelphia,
can't.
Period. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Philadelphia.
Oh, that will not stand.
You can't take care of your bells.
Don't make me.
Stay.
We can't do another. Would you like to take that back already? We just did it a half hour ago.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Come on.
Philadelphia, hello.
Hello. Hey, Saturday night, if you happen to live in Orange County near the Irvine area, Kevin Smith and I are taken to the stage at the Irvine Improv Saturday night to do Hollywood Babylon. Why don't you come join us? It's a good time. Kevin gets baked.
What?
And I get drunk, and we make fun of celebrities, and there's hilarity ensues. We've got dirty songs about Justin Bieber we all sing along to. It's just a great time.
No, read my luscious lips. No.
Go to improv.com, click on Irvine, and then get your tickets and come see us Saturday
night. Do you walk around and yell at people about your marker?
I don't. I do not.
Just here.
Because no one steals from me in Hollywood Babylon.
No one stole it there, my friend. Yeah. That was on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Sure it was. Oh! Oh, that diamond necklace? Yeah. Oh, I found it on the floor. No, I didn't steal it, officer. This must have been misplaced somewhere. That's the oldest con in the book, man. I watch Law & Order SUV. I know how they roll.
Ralph is losing it.
Congratulations to Johnny Bernthal. Good man. Nice guy. And now, the Punisher. He will be joining the cast of Netflix's Daredevil as the Punisher. Frank Castle. Oh, that's a name for a superhero, isn't it? Former Marine who's
family killed by the mob, so he becomes the Punisher. Let me put this skull on my chest. Now you know I mean business. He wears a skull on his chest. You don't want to mess with a guy with a skull on his chest.
That's true.
Right.
Wasn't there a movie?
There was a couple movies.
Recently.
Thomas Jane did a movie. And a British actor, damn it, what was his name? Did a pretty good job with it, too. He also played the Punisher.
Was it Ray Stevenson?
Ray Stevenson. Thank you, Chief.
I like how she just trails.
Ray Stevenson. Witzeberg. Anyway, yeah, they've been trying for a while to make the definitive Punisher, and the fans have found it lackluster. But I think now they've tapped the right actor for the gig, and certainly that show, Daredevil's terrific. So I think we're all in good hands now. The over-under is in for this weekend's debut of Jurassic World. The film opens this weekend. Hollywood insiders have picked their over-under for how much it's going to make in its first weekend. Anybody want to guess? Anybody guess what the over-under is for Jurassic World? The morning line? Put your wagers down.
We're talking about Friday to Sunday standard weekend, right?
Standard weekend. Standard metric weekend.
$1.
It's going to make $1. Yes,
over. That's what I'm saying. No, it's over-under.
No, but the over-under number you have is the number they give you, and then you have to choose over-under. What? Make me drop my marker and come over there.
$100 million?
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Anybody else?
123.
Good one, Allie. Good.
I'm trying to think of what the big box office has been this year. Like, what are they doing these days at current prices? And I think Allie's in the ballpark. I'll say a little bit more and say, I'll say 128.
You're all a little ambitious. 115. This is okay. What they're guessing. That's what to pull it in around. That would make it the third biggest opening of the year behind Furious 7 and Avengers Age of Ultron if that were to happen.
I always find this a little weird, though, in that they'll say it should make 115, then it makes 110. They go, oh, disappointing.
Crash.
I was like, what about the fact that it made 110?
Burn all the prints. Burn them. It's a failure.
I understand that.
Yeah. That would make it the biggest Jurassic film of all time for an opening weekend. The Lost World picked up $72 million during its first weekend, so nothing.
You know what helps is, a beloved franchise, but B, Chris Pratt couldn't be more popular than he is right now.
Right.
I mean, I think he'll draw some people in just on his name, you know?
And can anyone lend me $300,000?
No.
No.
For what?
For Kit.
For Kit?
Kit. The Knight Rider car? The Knight Rider car?
Okay.
It's going up for auction.
Mm-hmm.
Kit! It will go, they're predicting it will go for about $300,000 at auction this weekend. Kit, the actual Kit. This is the one David Hasselhoff drove in Knight Rider. This isn't some replica. This is Kit, bitches.
Is that a George Barris?
I don't know if he did a work on that or not. But it's a beautiful car. And it's got that red light. It goes beep, 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 beep in front.
David Hasselhoff is a legend in Europe.
See?
That's a good point.
Is that Rome?
Thank you, Jim Rome, for joining us today.
I can't let you do that, Michael. Come on, Kit, the talking car.
Right,
I'm going to kidnap William Daniels and put him in the back seat and make him talk to me as I drive around. Please let me go home and see my family. No, William Daniels, just keep talking.
Did you say 300 grand?
That's what I said.
That's insane.
I'm getting it.
Okay.
Then I'm going to
wreck it.
Then I'm going to fall down an elevator shaft. Ruin it.
Crystal.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Gina Gershon's 53 years old today. Elizabeth Hurley turns 50 years old. Kate Upton celebrates her 23rd birthday. Lily Sobieski's 32. Bill Burr's 47. Shane West and DJ Qualls both celebrate their 37th birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm not sure we need you here for this, Ralph. We're good.
Are you afraid? Are you afraid
I think we
of something?
Have this one handled.
Scared? Are you scared?
No, I'm
buy a dog,
glad.
Kevin. Buy a dog.
I am glad Ralph is here, and here's why. Last week, Kevin, while you were out, Dave came across something that I thought sounded incredible. It's called Camp
yes.
No Counselors.
And I thought of you immediately, Boone, when I heard about this, because this is something you would absolutely do.
It's in Chicago, Nashville, New York. It's in Los Angeles, too, later in the summer. And what it is it's an adult summer camp mm-hmm. where you go and you stay over and you sleep in bunk beds. And during the day, you do things like play Capture the Flag and you water ski and you zip line and you make s'mores. And you, Ralph, you play Ultimate Frisbee, by the way, which I know you love, and Tug of War. And it just sounds like, and they feed you and you drink it. It just sounds like the greatest 3-day weekend in the world. I don't see how Ralph couldn't love this.
You're right. How can you do anything?
any of those things without going to a camp, without going to pretending you're a child? How can you enjoy any of that?
Here's my question. We all understand why I would love that. Why does Bean love that?
He doesn't.
He just loves the idea of it.
Exactly, yes. He said, if I was a person, I might like this. That's what I was thinking.
I think the answer, Ralph, is that, yes, you could water ski and also play basketball and also play dodgeball. Right. But you'd have to go to all sorts of different places to do those things. This is all in one area together where everything's kind of supervised and laid out for you, and you have all the equipment and everything you need.
And it's great for the people who go to this who have no friends, because then there's things, people you can do these things with. That's great.
Clearly,
and
I'm not
sleep in a bunk bed, which is what every grown up wants.
Going to be able to win you over, but I bet the man who will is on the phone. He is Adam Tischauer, and he is the founder of Camp No Counselors at campnocounselors.com, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Adam, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Very good, thank you. We're doing great. Now you're up in Canyon Creek, which is up just north of Santa Clarita, and the weekend that we're talking about that's available for Southern Californians is the first weekend of October. Correct?
That's correct. It's 3 nights, 4 days from October 1st to October 4th.
Great. And how long have you been doing the Camp No Counselors?
This is our third summer of camps for grown-ups and our second summer doing camps in L.A.
Okay. And what's great about it? Like, what do people walk away from the weekend experience talking to you about?
People, I mean, there's a wide range. People leave with best friends, new friends, relationships. But all in all, people just have the time of their lives. It's rare that you get to really disconnect from work and technology and just be a kid and have genuine play and fun in our lives.
Do people also say, thanks for introducing me to the joy of sleeping in a bunk bed?
Why do you hate Ralph?
Because I'm a grown-ass man, that's why. Because when you're a child, you can sleep in a bunk bed and you don't give a rat's ass. I'm a grown-ass man now. I need a bed, I need friends, and I need a cocktail, and I need to live my life like a grown-up
person. But you have all of those things here. What's wrong with taking a nap and then getting up and having a little happy hour, then you're having yourself a steak dinner?
They tell you the hour you can take the nap in. I can take a nap any goddamn time I want. Because I'm grown up.
The beautiful thing about Camp No Counselors is there are no counselors and no rules.
It's in
the
name.
You know where else there's no counselors and no rules? In my goddamn life.
But Ralph, there's not, look, a dance party is not going to break out at your house at 10 o'clock at night. That's going to happen if you're at Camp No Counselors.
No, a dance party's not going to break out at your house at 10 o'clock at night. It could happen in my house.
I can't see how anyone wouldn't like this, Ralph. This is, you're flummoxing me. You're a guy who likes fun and likes doing things with people.
Because this is hipster douchebaggery where everyone says, oh, let's pretend to be 10 again. And that's the goddamn problem with this country. People need to grow the F up.
All right, Adam, what are the people that attend like?
There's a wide range. So the way that it works is you apply online, and then we curate the crowd. So we have a like-minded group of people that actually come to each camp weekend.
Wait, so,
you get to choose whether I get to hang out with douchebags or not.
Wait, I can get turned down for this camp? That's so sad. That's really sad.
So the
I was happy until I got turned down by camp.
The reason why we do that is we want a really a diverse background, a like-minded group coming through, and really to make sure that people do leave with new friends and have kind of these unique shared experiences. Whereas adults, I mean, I found that, you know, I was making most of my friends through networking and through my work, and this was a unique opportunity to make friends across a wide range of industries based on just genuine interests and shared experiences, rather than what most adults do is through work.
Right. You can get guys with beards and skinny jeans from all over the area to come to your camp.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we do have that application process, is to make sure that we don't only have guys with beards and skinny jeans or just people who work in film and TV. We really curate the crowd so you leave the weekend with friends that you probably wouldn't have met back in the city.
So do you send like an acceptance letter? And if you don't get accepted, do you send a letter saying, we're sorry, apply next year?
Sorry.
How does it work?
That's exactly correct.
You have you're one too many people with a beard and skinny jeans.
You can't enjoy a bunk bed and a slip and slide because we reject you. That's what your letter says.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
I love it.
So, Adam, you would weed out a guy with Ralph's crappy attitude, for instance. If he were to apply online, you would be able to spot him as just being a guy who would just be there to just throw cold water on the whole thing, right?
Two of the key questions in our application are, one is, why do you want to come to Camp No Counselors? And I assume Ralph would say, I don't want to come.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, I'd have a weird application.
I don't think your application would be successful.
The
but maybe it would.
Question in the application is, what did you do for your last birthday?
Oh, now that's interesting.
So, based on those two questions, It's pretty telling what type of people there are. People are just down for fun, down for a good time, and want to try something new. You can really find out a lot from those two questions. And then, obviously, we can learn a lot about people socially online these days, and you can kind of check those.
She's going to do a
online
background check to see if I can eat his mac and cheese. That's going to happen. You know what I did on my last birthday? I had a room full of about 100 of my closest friends partying with me.
That was a good party.
I'm a grown-ass person.
You know what? No counselors there as well.
No bunk beds either.
Well, maybe you should bring some of those friends to this weekend,
Rob. I don't need any goddamn friends.
So, Adam, this is the voice of Adam Tischauer here on the Kevin DeBeccio, founder of Camp No Counselors. Again, if you're interested, it's campnocounselors.com. We're talking about the first weekend of October. You can apply, and I hope you don't get rejected. The pictures on your website, sir, show the hottest, youngest, fittest crowd I've ever seen at any event ever. Are you also rejecting fat people and ugly people when you do this process?
Definitely not. Definitely not.
You just group them together so they're all fat and ugly together, right?
No. The type of people that really just apply in general are people who are active lifestyle people, people who do love to get out, be active, play sports. And this is obviously a photogenic crowd that you see online. Those are all people who do come to our camps in general. But it's really an active group of people who come.
Yeah. Ralph, when I go, I'm going to make you a macrame friendship bracelet.
I hope you will. and I hope Jason Voorhees is in the woods when you go.
All right, Adam, we're almost out of time here. How many more slots are available for this year, or is it too late to apply?
No, we still have about 50 spots available for our October weekend in Los Angeles and about 30 spots available for our September 17th weekend in New York. Other than that, the summer's sold out, which is really exciting to see that word is spreading as friends invite friends.
Well, Ralph is doing his part to get the word out. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're lonely and you need to have a bunk bed partner, then this is the event for you.
And you work at Abercrombie and Fitch. You have to look like that.
There's got to be some success stories coming out of this. People in long-term relationships now, right?
Definitely. Yeah, there's lots. I mean, it's a really unique way to meet someone. It's not just, you know, at a bar over a drink. It's through shared activities, through making human pyramids together, through being on dodgeball teams together. And then you have kind of a unique inside joke, right?
I don't want to meet anyone who's ever made a human pyramid, by the way.
See,
I can weed them out right away.
Where'd you meet? We played real-life Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Right.
Nailed it.
And he helped me get a tick out of my calf.
The funniest thing to me. The funniest thing to me is when you meet people out at a bar, and they're like, oh, how did you guys meet? And they're like, camp. And it's like, oh, that's so cute. You've known each other for so long.
Oh, like, no. You have special needs. That's great. I didn't even notice your helmet. That's what you say.
I love this.
All right, Adam. Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with the weekend. We really appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 9 o'clock this morning, the greatest band in the world, Tenacious D, joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about, among other things, their upcoming Festival Supreme comedy lineup, which, by the way, third year in a row, looks incredible.
Sure does.
Right?
Sure does.
Yesterday on the program, we talked about a man in New York, East Williamsburg. Kevin, you did not have a lot of sympathy for this guy. You fear that he is either stupid or damaged.
Well, I mean, look, you can believe in psychics if you want. Mm-hmm. How much money are you willing to put on that belief, though? This guy spent how much? Like
only $713,975, Kevin.
Okay, so I sort of feel bad for him, but then I also feel like those people taking advantage of him, maybe.
Yeah, I think so, too. Well, that's why New York police arrested his psychic, Priscilla DeMarco. She is in jail. She is 26 years old, and she wrung this guy for everything he was worth. He went to her, and he said, look, I am in love with this woman who does not love me back. What up? And she said, I can help with that, but you need to pay me. By the way, first visit to the psychic, and this shocked me. This is new information from when we talked about it yesterday, because I had not seen the breakdown of these expenses. When you're walking down the Venice Boardwalk and you see the sign in the lady's house that says psychic readings, come on in. How much is it?
$5?
Yeah, 15 maybe,
yeah,
right?
Tops.
First visit to this psychic, $2,500. Second visit, $9,000 he was charged.
I don't understand how they even fool you at by that point.
Mm-hmm. I don't either. So he said, this lady Michelle, I love, she doesn't love me. And the psychic told him that evil spirits were keeping them apart, but she could help him with that. She said, you need to buy a Tiffany diamond ring to protect your energy. That was $40,000. You need to give me $80,000 so that I can build a bridge that will trap evil spirits into another realm. A $30,000 Rolex. a time machine to cleanse his past. At some point after about 6 months of visiting this psychic, he found out that the woman, Michelle, that he was paying this psychic to help him get back together with had died. She was no longer in the picture.
Okay, now at that point, I see this person losing business.
The psychic says, no, no, I can help you with that. Why don't you pay me $40,000 for a funeral ritual for her, and then we will pay me again, and we will reincarnate her into another woman. It will be the new Michelle. So now you'll still get the Michelle that you thought you loved, who's gone, in the person of a new – I can help you with that if you just keep giving me money. So after $713,000, he went to the police and said, guys
– I'm not positive here.
I don't think she's on the up and up. And she was arrested. So this got us on the topic off air yesterday of psychics. And it's been a long time since we've discussed it on air. But do a lot of people in 2015 go to psychics? And if they do, are they going just as a gag, just as a joke with their friends? Are they going just because it's cheap entertainment? Or are there people out there who really believe that you can knock on a fortune teller's door and she can tell you something about what's going on in your life?
I think there's both. And I know from the past that every single time we have a psychic on the program, people will call for the rest of the day trying to get a hold of that person.
Yeah, that is true, too.
And we always have this conversation in the office, which is, I don't believe, Bean doesn't believe, but man, do people love it. They love it. They eat it up.
And what do you think that's about? Do you think it's that people just want an edge in their life, like life is chaotic and they need somebody who can give them some information they don't have that will help make sense of it or give them some sort of a path, a direction?
I guess, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand what people get from it. Usually it's just like encouraging talk.
That's exactly it.
Hey, your future looks good.
Want to hear what they want to hear. So you can kind of lead that psychic into telling you, oh, no, things are going, you're going on the right path. Keep doing this. Or.
And right around the corner, you have something to look forward to.
There's a shiny unicorn.
It's BS, right?
Well, I think a lot of people do it as well for the fun aspect of it. But then sometimes you can get sucked in when they say something like, oh, I see you're struggling with something on this front. And you're like, holy crap.
How many times have you done it?
18.
How many times have you done it for real?
18. No, I've never done it for real. But I feel that people are intuitive to certain things. And sometimes it can be, I'm not saying real and I'd give them $1 million, but sometimes you just need a little encouragement.
Would you give them $713,975, though?
Probably.
I like that guy finally drew the line, though.
Right.
Yes,
I do $700,000.
All right, we want to open up the phone lines here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. What specific person are we looking for to call us right now?
I think we're looking for psychic disappointments.
Okay.
So you went to a psychic. They were supposed to help you with fill in the blank, and then everything went south.
With romance or with a job or with family or with fights or whatever it was, and you paid them and you feel like you got nothing? Is that what we're looking
for? Yes. I believe that's what we're looking for.
Psychic disappointments. You went to a psychic. You thought, what the hell? What do I have to lose? And they told you information that was worth exactly zero to you. That's what we want to hear from you about. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. I knew it, man.
You knew what?
I knew it. I knew we were going to play that song. I'm a psychic. Tough prediction, Red Hot Chili Peppers on this show. Hey, we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. We're asking about psychic disappointments. Great story out of New York about a guy who really went down a path over a year and a half. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to the psychic that he was trying to get back with his lost love. And that kind of got us on the topic of the people who go to psychics and why and what's the result like.
What was the story that Ralph did about B. Arthur, like photobombing the psychic reading of... Well, Betty White or something?
Well, she wasn't photobombing.
Oh, whatever. I mean, you know,
dead,
jumping
but,
in.
Yeah, Betty White was, according to Ralph yesterday, Betty White, the Golden Girls actress, was at a seance trying to get in touch with her ex-husband, Alan Ladd, and instead she could not get through to him because P. Arthur kept butting in on the round table.
I'm going to do that for the rest of time.
And it was very funny. It's not what the person hoped for when they went for the seance. All right, let's take some calls here. Why don't we start with line three, please? Ashley is joining us from Riverside here on the Kevin and Bean. We're talking about psychic disappointments. Hi, Ashley. Thanks for calling. What happened, my dear?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank
Great.
You.
So it was probably about 10 years ago now. It was actually my mom who went to the psychic. We were down in Newport Beach, just having a good day. She just wanted to go for the fun of it, just to see what she would get out of it. And the lady had told her that, you know, she's going to have this really long relationship with this guy. She was going to have, you know, another kid, and she would live, you know, this long life. Well, she just started dating one of her coworkers, which is not a good thing to begin with.
Right.
But, and a month later, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and he dumped her because he didn't want to be with somebody who was going to die.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So the psychic was wrong?
Yeah, completely wrong. I mean,
so make sure that I'm interpreting this information properly.
So let me ask you this, Ashley. You were with your mom when she was sitting with the psychic, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was probably like 10 years ago. I was like 13.
Did you sense that the psychic was just trying to tell your mom things to make her happy, just to feel like she got her money's worth? Like tell her it was going to be a great life?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, I was just a kid, and I can still sense it.
You're a 13-year-old going, BS! This is BS!
Do you remember what your mom paid for the reading?
I think it was like $100.
Oh! $100?
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. All right. Well, I hope everything worked out okay with your mom.
Cancer kind of took her early, but...
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it, Ashley. All right, let's move on to line five, please. Eddie is in Long Beach. I was hoping for a miracle, you guys.
Yeah, I know. Maybe next time, don't. Eddie, hi.
Paid, I think, about $20 to $30. And she was reading my palm, and she said that within 2 years I was going to be having a wife and two kids, but I'm gay.
And you were 18 years old, by the way. I don't think that's great news for anyone who's 18, is that in 2 years you're going to have two kids and a wife.
Now, did you, at the time you knew you were gay, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Did you say, hey, that's not going to happen? I mean, did you correct her?
No, actually what I did is I kind of started laughing inside myself, and I just said, oh, okay, cool. And I just kind of let
her. You moved on.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're just a nice man, Eddie. You did not want to tell her what a crappy psychic she was. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Valencia Line 4, please. This is going to be Avo. Avo, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
You saw a psychic?
Yeah. Yes. So about 10 years ago also, I went, a girlfriend and I, we were just driving around. We saw the psychic place. She said, oh, let's stop by. We walk, you know, we go in there. We each pick the psychic from this bio book. You just read their bios. And we go in. He asked me a couple of questions about our relationship. And then all of a sudden, my psychic turned into a dietitian because he kept telling me I had to eat more greens and less red meat.
What? Huh.
Yeah, this guy completely just a couple of relationship questions. And then all of a sudden, I don't know how this conversation turned into, so do you eat lots of vegetables or do you eat more meat? And I was like, well, I'm a meat eater, but. So then he started convincing me that I need to eat more vegetables. And
listen, I know I'm a psychic, but you really need to eat more vegetables.
Seriously, how fat were you, Ava, when you walked in?
I'm not. It was just so weird. Like this guy was completely a joke. And then the girlfriend walks out they had some gift shop. She walks out buying all these stones and stuff they convinced her to buy.
Ah, there you go.
There it is right there.
There's the angle. It's just so funny, though, that you go to a psychic and you think, I'm going to a human being who is so in tune with the universe that they can tell me about myself and my future. They can tell me things I could never imagine. And then you walk out and they go, oh, the guy told me to eat more broccoli.
Yeah, right. And the kicker was his name was Merlin. And he tried his hardest to look like Zoltar, that penny machine or whatever.
His name was Merlin.
Oh. Yep, Merlin. It was a great experience. Overall, I had fun.
It sounds like giggles.
It's great. Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel? Do you feel the emotion when you wrote it later when you're playing it? And. That was a poorly asked question. Let me take that. Can I take that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Kevin talking to Muse right there. How about that? Tenacious D joins us at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Devine Show. But between now and then, how about this for an opener for the D, Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat.
I only hope Kevin has as insightful a question for the D as he had for Muse.
I love Muse, too. I was just so disappointed in myself at that moment.
Oh, you abused them with that question. You really love them. Okay, this is something's got to be done.
Okay.
Something has to be done about Pat Robertson. What are we going to do with about the Pat Robertson situation?
What's he done now?
Isn't he like 80? Isn't he going to take care of itself?
When is Jesus going to take him home? That's what I want to know. It's time.
He's a televangelist?
He is maybe the televangelist, Kevin. He's the founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network. And, of course, he has the 700 Club, which appears on ABC Family.
Probably the most popular religious broadcast in America.
That's still on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And it's time. I think it's time for us to take a page out of the handbook of the religious right and start to boycott sponsors of this show. Because this most recent clip that was sent to me by listener Paul, thanks Paul, you will be left flummoxed, and frankly, your mouth will be agape.
I hope not.
I think it will. He takes people right in to get their problem solved by Pat because, you know, he talks to God on a regular basis.
Sure.
So a lady calls in and she said she's got a problem because she's got a grieving coworker whose 3-year-old baby has died. And the mother asked her, how can I believe in a God who would take my child from me? This is a problem.
Classic question.
Classic question, exactly. So thank God that this woman wrote in to get Pat's advice because Pat knows how God works. Oh. And he's got a perfectly legitimate reason behind why this 3-year-old child, the 3-year-old child's life was snuffed out. Here's Pat.
Now, as far as God's concerned, he knows the end from the beginning, and he sees a little baby. And that little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler. He could grow up to be Joseph Stalin. He could grow up to be some serial killer. Or he could grow up to die of a hideous disease. God sees all that. And for that life to be terminated while he's a baby, he's going to be with God forever in heaven. So that isn't a bad thing. So how could God do that? How could a good God let that happen? Well, the good God is going to take that baby to heaven right now, and that isn't a bad thing.
That went south so fast!
See, Mom, don't grieve because your child was likely going to be Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin.
That's insanity! Wow.
So you got that going for you. Which would beg the question, where was God when the actual Adolf Hitler was being born?
Yes!
Where was the snuffing out then? When little Joey Stalin was in the crib. When was that going to happen?
Excellent question,
Rob. Hey, God, sleeping on the job again.
That's crazy.
And by the way, why couldn't your kid be Mother Teresa or Thomas Jefferson, too, or Nelson Mandela, and we don't know?
No, 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 Bean. That's not how God works.
Bean, you don't understand.
You don't get it.
I guess not.
And you can't leg press 600 pounds like Pat Robertson.
That's
either.
True, too. But here's the thing about Pat, is the people that love him will support him and say, well, Reverend knows what he's talking about, and people that don't just ignore him. But Ralph is right. There's no concerted effort. I think he seems harmless to most people, so they just ignore him rather than try to shut him down for the quack that he is, the dangerous man that he is.
But that can't be right.
What if your kid was Hitler, he said?
That guy say that stuff on television, can we?
He's got plenty of advertisers, Ralph. People seem to like it.
And then Billy Graham's kid.
Oh, don't get me started on this one.
Billy Graham, the other televangelist, his son is taking over the ministry, Franklin Graham. He said he's going to pull all of his money out of Wells Fargo Bank because they had an ad where two lesbian parents adopt a deaf baby and plan to raise them as their own. That was in a commercial. Yeah. And he said, they're pushing the gay agenda. I'm going to move all of my money out of the bank.
And Tiffany, too. I don't know how he was supporting Tiffany, but he's apparently trying to get a boycott of Tiffany going because they had a same-sex couple in one of their engagement ads.
What's happening?
Tiffany is the devil.
What is happening?
I don't know. But I'm ready to go to adult camp, I think. I need some time off.
If they allow you.
I need to go play some slip and slide and sleep in a bunk bed and just feel better about myself.
I feel like we're living in two Americas sometimes, Ralph. And I know that most people identify themselves as religious. But in terms of things like we're talking about here with acceptance of same-sex marriage, I feel like those people are in the minority. Those people who are against it are in the minority and shrinking fast. So yeah. I think we are winning the bigger battle.
What about the people who say babies are killed because they're probably Hitler? What about those people?
Yeah. And by people, you mean person.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you about Pat Robertson.
But if you're a fan of the 700 Club and you're sitting there watching, when he goes into that, don't you say, All right. Okay. I'm out. Right. I tried. I wanted to stay with him.
I was with you all
I
these years.
I love me some Jesus, too, but now the Hitler thing. You're bat-ass crazy now at this point.
And by the way, that's not much comfort to the mother.
No, of course
I know
not.
I lost my child, look, but at least my child was Hitler.
Come on. Feel better, Mom.
What kind of Hallmark card do you send?
Woo! Boy, am I relieved now. Thanks, Pat. You cleared things up for me. That rat bastard little kid of mine.
I'm glad
I had a bad feeling
dead.
About all being all Hitler.
And whatnot.
Imagine how bad I'd feel if my kid grew up to be Hitler. You saved me a lot of pain.
Thanks, Pat. I'm writing you a check.
Wow. It's the end times. We live in the end times.
That's crazy. We do.
That's why I'm glad Tenacious D is in the house, because they will make everything better.
Yep.
They're coming up next. Meanwhile, I will get to my celebrity birthdays. Gina Gershon celebrates her 53rd birthday today. Yeah. If that's 53, give me a double scoop on a cone, right? Who's with me? What does that mean? I don't know.
I'm not sure what that means. I'm trying to...
Elizabeth Hurley's 50 years old today. If that's 50... Give me a little soft serve right in a big dish.
Has anyone on it, right? Watched any of that the new show that she's on, The Royals? Has anyone checked that out at all?
No.
Okay. She plays like a queen or something.
Who's less likely to check that out than me?
That's true. Kevin hates the real royalty, let alone fake royalty. He'll never be royals.
File.
Bill Burr is 47 years old today. Shane West is 37, as is DJ Qualls. Lily Sobieski, very talented and lovely actress, is 32. And Kate Upton.
Yeah.
I believe she is some sort of model.
Yes. She's a model.
Actress as well.
They take a photo of her for a living?
Yes.
Actually, she's working on a movie right now with Alexandra Daddario.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Call
oh, my God.
Call the layover.
I don't want to hear whatever's going on at Bean's End.
Together in the same movie?
Yeah.
Ralph, I'm begging you.
And William H. Macy's directing. And it was written by my two buddies, Lance Krall and David Hornsby, from Joe Schmo, from the first Joe Schmo. They worked on the screenplay together.
That's fantastic.
I'd like to move on.
I think we all would.
Is it shot horizontally or vertically?
I'm Ralph Kramer, and I walk the showbiz.
What are we doing here, man? We're going for genius. Let's do it. Let's get serious. Let's get physical.
Wonderboy. This is a trip you.
I'm gonna you gently.
They formed a band named Tenacious D, and then they got to pick a destiny.
Rocking and freaking rolling and freaking rocking and freaking rolling.
The government totally sucks, you mother trucker.
The government totally sucks.
I am the loner. I make the rock go. It's the rise of a penis. It's the call of a time. And you know when you see the Tenacious D.
Quite simply, the greatest band in the world. It's always a delight and a pleasure to welcome our friends Jack Black and Kyle Gass back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, boys.
What a package, as usual.
You know,
how you guys
that might have been my favorite package so far.
I got to tell you guys that sometimes we put bands' music on like that, like an intro for them when they come into the studio, and they literally, a lot of our bands will throw off their headphones.
No.
They don't want to hear it. Yes.
No.
Maybe they've heard it too much. Jack, you both were in heaven.
Yeah, I was drinking it up like a fine wine.
All I could think about, none of those songs are good enough to play here.
Those are all none of our jams that we've made over the years. Nowhere else do we step into a room and a delicious package of our past is played before we step. I love it.
And speaking about that, you guys, it occurred to me, and I don't think we've discussed this, that the D has now been together for over 20 years.
Yeah, but I don't really count those first 5 years.
Really? You start with a TV show.
The first album drops in 2001, so we're 14 years strong. But it's strong.
We're shaving some years.
Whatever you need, man.
but we've been together a long time. And, you know, listening to that package, if I can't get off this package just yet.
No. Would you like me to play it again?
It just feels like it. Yeah, could we hear it one more time?
I just feel
like we get better with age.
Yeah. What are we doing here, man? We're going for genius. Well. Let's do it. Let's get serious.
Don't play the whole package.
What's the, I think I know the answer to this. The secret is that you sometimes don't see each other for like a year at a time. That's the secret to making it work.
We never, like you guys, never see each other socially.
That is the key.
It is the key. Never hang out.
All right, that works.
Very important.
Yeah, we give each other space, but no, we're, I consider Kyle my best friend. But well, Kyle, I know, doesn't consider me his best friend.
That's insane.
But the thing is, I am a very kind of a cloistered, sheltered hermit. I live under a rock. It's okay. A very big, expensive rock.
Sure, sure.
But yeah. I don't really go outside very much.
Uh-huh.
But when I do, I will check in with
it's
Kyle.
The bubble.
And see
it's
what's
the
up.
Bubble.
He's like your security blanket?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it kind of weird to FaceTime your friend?
Is it weird to FaceTime?
FaceTime, because we FaceTime.
You mean as opposed to phone calling?
Yeah.
I don't do it, but I know there are other people who find it very common. Yeah, I think it's
a little odd that you're both nude, but
you gotta be. Yeah,
whatever
you gotta
works.
You gotta be close friends without okay. borders.
All
you
right.
gotta be friends without borders. Because yeah, oftentimes we'll be FaceTiming and we'll realize we're both on the toilet or something.
Well, sure.
You gotta be really close.
The reason the D is here, besides the fact that they're always invited any time, day or night, to stop by K-Rock, is that this is a big, big week because the third edition of the annual Festival Supreme is happening. And I frankly was surprised that you guys survived the first one and then came back with another year. And I was like, what are these guys doing? They're madmen. Now you're back with the third year. Is it getting easier now or is it still
Why
like
were you surprised?
Because...
Because you're artists.
Yes. Because you're artists.
The same reason he was surprised that we put out like a second album. It's like, why are they continuing?
I know. We were too old 10 years ago.
It's always a surprise that we're still together.
We were old.
Here's the thing. Because we still.
It's a lot of work, guys.
We still haven't found what we're looking for, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh. Every year has been like an exciting, fun party to throw. But we keep on like striving for that perfection of a festival.
Mm hmm.
And, it is a buttload of work.
That's all I'm saying is you don't need to do that kind of work. But, you guys are the D.
But
that's
do you do it?
How fun it is, though. It's so fun that it's worth, like, you finish the festival. It's a huge success. Everyone's like, oh, that was the party of the century. And then the next day, you go, who's really, going to be in next year? And you start working right away for a whole year. It's crazy gig.
This year it's going to be October 10th. It's going to be at the Shrine Expo Hall and Grounds. And it really is the greatest collection of comedy anywhere in the world, right? For one day. I mean, I'm not just saying that. It's for reals, though, right?
It's a great collection of misfits. And I think of it as the greatest little festival west of the Mississippi. There's a lot of festivals. I mean, America's festival crazy. The world is festival crazy now. But we set ourselves apart because... We celebrate the comedy as opposed to putting it in a little hot sweat tent where the rock stars are on the big stage. We flip the script.
Uh-huh.
We put the rock stars in the parking lot and we have the comedy, in a special jewel case inside the golden velvety halls of the Shrine Auditorium.
That does sound
but,
a little flushed.
But no, but the outside's also really golden too. I don't want to say that like... The rock stars aren't in the ghetto. It's still nice.
It's still at the Shrine, though, right?
It's still at the Shrine.
They're in the ghetto, let's be honest.
But there's four stages at this event. It's a real festival. A lot of festivals are like, it's a festival. We have two stages. And that's not a festival.
It isn't, you're right.
Because that's just a thing where you look that way, and then they finish, and then you look that way, and then they finish. You don't have to move.
It's just like watching tennis.
You have to make some hard choices at a real festival. You got to go, wait a second. Am I going to watch Amy Poehler, or am I going to go watch The Darkness? Am I going to go see Tenacious D, or am I going to... And so that's the fun, is like, you go to that, I'll go to that. And
the tough choices.
And you want to force people to walk around a little bit. To travel.
So this is about exercise more than...
It's about steps.
Well, we
steps.
Call it flow in it's the flow. Festival business.
Flow, thank you.
It's about flow.
Step fest.
You named a couple names, but let me throw a few more at you. Jenny Slate on the bill this year. The great Tim Minchin is going to be there. Andrew W.K., who, as you know, likes to party.
Yeah.
The original cast of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah.
Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine are old friends. Dick Cheese are going to be there. Christian Schall, Finesse Mitchell. Aubrey Plaza. The list goes on and on and on. It's a phenomenal lineup.
Thank you.
And tickets are going on sale tomorrow at 12 noon through AXS.com, or you can buy them in person at the Shrine box office from noon until 5 o'clock.
Now, you forgot our favorite, the cherry on top of the
Super
the
Dave.
Love Super Dave Osborne. Super Dave Osborne, Kids in the Hall. Die Antwoord.
Yes.
Coming down to throw
that
down.
Is, They are crazy.
Hardcore.
They are crazy.
Because I'm a ninja.
I love those guys.
What is this? I see that Tenacious D is scheduled to do a jazz show.
Yes.
What's that about, boys?
It's a very special version of Tenacious
well,
D.
Well, you know, we have a theme this year. Have we had a theme every year? Last year we had Halloween.
Festival Supreme?
Yeah. It was just horror show last year. Oh, no, it was the Metal Years. It was Festival Supreme Part 2, the Metal Years.
But this year our theme is Vegas.
It's a Vegas lounge
theme.
It's a lounge lizard theme.
Okay.
And what we're doing in the fourth stage is recreating old Largo. Remember when Largo, the club that Mark Flanagan, the Irishman, had in on Fairfax?
Yeah, yes. Largo and Cornet.
Now it's the Largo at the Cornet on La Cienega, and it's a super classy joint where the best, like, alt comics and musicians play. But he used to be right across the street from Cantor's on Fairfax, and it was a small club, all velvet, and you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to talk.
No, it was just the
pure.
You
weren't allowed to talk.
You were the respect
the
for the music and the art was so intense that you could just and you ate some shrimp scampi, and that's where we actually started. Believe it or not,
the
that's
food
Tenacious
was questionable,
D.
Though.
That's where the D started.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a D place.
But not really at all.
That was the magic. We went over there, we clogged up their toilets, and then we gave them the best
like
performance.
Oh, my. Now, you brought it up this time. They were going to go the whole show without bringing it up.
All right, when do we get to the jazz, Jack? How does the jazz come into it?
Let's bring it back. So now we're recreating old Largo at the Festival Supreme in the space,
Expo Hall.
In the Expo Hall. And so there's going to be tables.
These guys are like a married couple that are old and they finish each other's sentences.
That's
totally.
Right. We're going to have like tables and chairs like you're in an old Copacabana Las Vegas nightclub. And so there's going to be lots of lounge like Richard Cheese, the lampshades. And Tenacious D is going to do a jazz set.
Oh, sweet.
And so.
We've done it before.
We actually put out a jazz album. And some people think we're making fun of jazz, but really we love jazz.
No.
But it's a fine line. It's a fine line with us. If we're making fun of it, or we love it.
Throughout.
And the answer is both.
We
both love
all
it.
Right.
And we make fun of it because jazz is so precious. And the jazz, it's all about the genius of jazz.
Very special guest stars we'll have.
So when we bust out a jazz set, it's usually a very special event.
Now, which one of you is going to go method ahead of October and playing the jazz set and getting addicted to heroin, as all good jazz artists are?
Is that the key? Wow. You know, now that you mention it, you go Charlie Parker, heroin check. Yeah. Who else you got?
John Frusciante?
John Frusciante's not a jazz man.
No, hey, I'm sorry. I was singing heroin and then I...
No, think jazz.
I went
though.
Frusciante.
Who's the best jazz guy?
I just think one of you guys needs to make the commitment. That's all I'm suggesting. Tickets are going on sale Thursday at noon through AXS.com or in person at the Shrine box office starting at noon as well. The event is October 10th at the Shrine Expo Hall and Grounds. We're talking about Festival Supreme 2015. Tenacious D is here. More in a moment after this on K-Rock. Jack and Kyle are here from Tenacious D, the greatest band in the world, talking about the third edition of their Festival Supreme happening October 10th at the Shrine Expo Hall and Grounds. Tickets go on sale Thursday at noon. By the way, we'd like to give some to Kevin and Bean listeners right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll make it callers 20 through 24 if you want to call right now to win tickets to see this amazing lineup. All right, here's an update for you guys. We're talking about how you need to start getting on some heroin ahead of your jazz show.
Good tip.
Who did you mention? Who did you mention was on the heroin, Jack?
Who was
Charles Parker? Charlie Parker.
Charlie Parker.
Billie Holiday
John
on the
Coltrane.
Heroin.
Yeah.
John
Miles
Coltrane.
Davis.
Miles Davis. Chet Baker. Ray Charles. Yeah. Charlie Hayden. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot for you to shoot for, dude.
Yeah. You know, I snorted.
You got a lot of heroin to do.
I snorted it one time, and I do not recommend it. It did not improve my jazz performance. I definitely felt like I was going to die. I felt like, wait, my heart is slowing down. Where is the pleasure that I've heard about? Maybe I got a bad batch.
Were you so
give it one more try?
Wait, did you vomit? Because I hear that's the key.
That's the key.
I didn't bark, but I felt my heart was slowing down, so I walked around the block just to stay alive, to keep the blood pumping. And then I couldn't feel my feet, so I felt like I was walking on bloody stumps. It was a nightmare.
Oh my God.
Horrible.
Now Jack, tell me about that moment? Like, what was the, what were the circumstances under which you tried it? Were you at a party or something like that?
No.
A guy said you got it, or what
you
happened?
You know, it was weird. I had it. I had it at home. I'm not going to say who gave it to me because it was to protect the innocent.
Macaulay Culkin, we know that.
I had it, and I was like, should I do it? You know, and there was all the stories about, you know, all the geniuses that have done it. And I was like, you know, it makes you a genius. And
expands
also,
your mind.
It feels better than sex, supposedly. I'm like, how am I not going to try this one time? And I tried it, and it was, I tell you, I was right on death's door.
You were walking around the neighborhood just trying to stay alive?
Yeah, it was.
That sucks so much.
It was harrowing. And I've never once, it was harrowing.
Harrowing.
That experience with it. Well, and I've never once even had the slightest impulse to try it.
But aren't you so grateful that that was your experience?
It's actually, it's a blessing in disguise.
A blessing, yeah.
You're lucky.
Absolutely.
How about you, Kyle? Ever been tempted to dance with the devil?
Well, I did LSD one time.
No Mr. Brownstone?
No, I can't dance with Mr. Brownstone.
How was your LSD experience?
It was terrifying.
It?
Yeah. I just lost my mind. I just lost my mind.
You don't need your
and
mind.
And here I am to this day.
Your reason is, your mind is already so large, you don't need expansion.
Here's what happened. I thought it wasn't working, and I started doing massive bong rips.
Okay.
I said, well, this isn't working. And somebody said, well, you can kick it in. If you just use a couple rips. And then all of a sudden, the table was about a mile away.
Right.
I was like, ah! I said, well, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to wash this paint off my arm. There was no paint on my arm.
Wow.
Your arm.
Now, was it scary?
No, he still had his
terrifying.
Arm.
Oh,
his arm was,
it was terrifying.
There was nothing about it that was pleasurable.
No, it started off. No, for the first hour, it was like Woodstock, and we were like, you know, face painting. And,
right.
And then the bong rips came in, and then the terror started.
Because every time we have Dr. Drew on and LSD comes up, he says, I am telling you, I see it all the time where somebody takes LSD once, they're a vegetable for life. I mean, he really does put the fear of God into
Bean's
you.
Bean's bringing this up because if he didn't say that, Bean would try it.
Right.
He really wants to try it.
It seems like a very attractive idea to me.
I feel like maybe you shouldn't be trying drugs.
Is it worth it, though? I mean, if you do become the next Brian Wilson and write the great American album.
Speaking right to be.
Is it worth it to then be Brian Wilson and not be able to, like, communicate with people normally the rest of your life?
Would you be damaged the rest of your life if your legacy was Pet Sounds? I that's a decent trade-off, Jack.
That's the thing.
That's right.
That's the thing.
I'm going to suggest that maybe the trade-off is not going to be Pet Sounds, B. I'm guessing that there's a few steps lower than Pet Sounds where you might land up in the ladder.
Does Bean have a side project? We don't know about
it. I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right, listen. Tenacious D is here. This Festival Supreme looks amazing, by the way. I love that the darkness is going to be there. That is great booking, you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I bet they grew up loving Tenacious D. Don't they seem like those kind of guys?
You know,
how old are they? I mean, they're young enough that you would have been around and they're in the prime of their.
That's true. They're younger than us.
All right.
Under our
I can
wing.
Live with that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they like us are very funny. They got great senses of humor. Get your hands off of my woman, Mother Effer, for instance. But they're actually tremendously gifted musicians, much like Tenacious D. they are a real band. You know, they're not a joke.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, we've wanted them since the beginning. We've tried to get them every year, and this year they finally cracked and they gave
in
to our pressures.
All right, I see an acoustic guitar has been presented to Cage's lap. What are we in the mood for here today, boys?
Do you want some? You want some rock?
Yes, we do.
Let's give them a little taste. Let's give them. This is a song called "To Be the Best." Ready? And a 1, 2, 3. To be the best, you got to pass the test. You got to take it all the way to the top of the mountain. You can get it again. To feel the high, you got to learn to fly. You got to take it to the sky on the wings of a demon. You're the best in the world. You are the best, but you say you don't know. You got to touch neck a mile. Search for the meaning. It's very revealing. The power of healing is what you are feeling. You gotta believe that you're simply the best. How many people out there listening today? Number one will be number one. How many
search for the name, and it's very revealing. The power of healing is what you are feeling. You gotta believe that you're simply the best.
Come on.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. They are the greatest band of the world, you guys.
Where's our applause?
I don't know, dude. At 9:30 a.m. That was a lot to ask for 9:30 a.m.
That was pretty goddamn impressive, you guys.
I almost burst a gasket.
You have seriously crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Seriously, like,
someone get me some heroin.
The one-day extravaganza featuring over 30 of the world's finest musicians and comedians is taking place this year on Saturday, October 10th at the Shrine Expo Hall and Grounds. Go to festivalsupreme.com for all the tickets and information. You guys are the best, man. We'll see you in October. Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you, guys. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:40. And we've been having Tenacious D on for almost 15 years, and they still always melt our faces when they come in. They're incredible. Right?
Agreed.
So good.
Agreed. So good. All right, a lot of fun. FestivalSupreme.com to buy your tickets. Ralph is here now to take us home on a Wednesday with another look at the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Crap, I got to take you home?
Just an expression.
Do you have any idea how little room there is in the backseat of a Mustang?
There'd be room for
a chip back there, maybe. That's about it.
There'd be room for Bean, though. I think he could make room.
I don't know. Maybe if we folded him up and put him in the trunk.
Just an expression, meaning you just talk till the end of the show. That's all.
Oh, it's an expression.
No one's going anywhere.
Oh, I thought I actually had to drive everybody home.
That's rock and roll. What can I say?
It is rock and roll.
It's true.
Who's with me? Hey, congratulations to Tom Arnold. His wife, Ashley, is pregnant with their second child.
Hey, hey, hey.
Doctors say due to Tom's advanced age, she's going to have a teenager. He's got old sperm, is what I'm saying. Sperm is not young. It's not fresh sperm. This is Tom's fourth wife, by the way. He found four women to marry him, Tom Arnold. How do you feel about yourself, sir, listening to the radio?
Mm-hmm.
Mighty low, I would guess. That ain't right.
That ain't right.
That ain't right. And that ain't right.
No, it ain't right.
The Washington Post has released their new poll of current presidential candidates ranking against famous Hollywood movie villains. Right now, the villains have a better approval rating than the candidates. Who would you rather have run the country? Darth Vader or Rand Paul? Well, America has spoken, and they're Team Vader.
Now, do you think that there's no way the people polled took this seriously, right? They're just funning, right?
No, B.
No, they seriously considered Darth Vader.
Took the opportunity to say they want Darth Vader to be their president as a serious chance to get him into office.
Come on, Vader, make the right decision.
Oh, how good would he look in the all-black outfit when they swear him in?
Let me rephrase. Were they giving their answers because they thought they would be funny, like, ha-ha, or were they actually considering which would be a better, like, were they actually thinking which, honestly, would be a better?
Say the F-word, Ralph.
Why do you think you could say the F-word?
You're exhausting.
I'm just trying to get to the motivation of the people who were surveyed.
How many very literal facts do you need to get from this silly little story about a poll?
I just want details.
Stop being you for just 5 minutes.
This is why you fail.
That's true, actually.
Here's the breakdown. We'll start at the 0 points, so you have an idea. Marco Rubio has a neutral approval rating. Not plus, not minus. He's at a zero.
Take him or leave him.
Okay. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are tied with a -4. Not a lot of people happy with them.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders, however, has a +1. People would like to see him be president, but not as much as the shark from Jaws. Jaws has a +7 approval rating.
No, Ralph.
They don't really believe that an aquatic animal.
They want that
How
shark.
Could he even be in the White House? He would need water to breathe. If he got behind the desk in the Oval Office, his gills would be flapping, desperate for oxygenated water.
Excellent point. Thank you, sir.
Darth Vader has a +11 approval rating. He's from another galaxy and a long, long time ago. He'd be too old to be president now.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. He's not even an American citizen. Right.
The Terminator has a plus 20. He apparently is the voters' favorite to be the president. The Terminator. I'm but assuming the T-1000, not the T2, I would guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or the T-6000, or whoever the F Robert Patrick was in that film.
But don't they come from
another... They weren't thinking Schwarzenegger, though,
they come from another galaxy from the future or something like that? Don't they?
They're not from the galaxy. They're just...
I don't know anything about the Terminator.
Have you ever
Stop interrupting
it?
Our fun!
He can't help himself.
He has to ask questions even if he has none.
I just want to see if he's eligible to be president.
Hell!
He's coming from the future,
Shut
from
up.
Another world. He's not. It's in the Constitution.
Like a minute.
Look it up.
Voldemort has a minus 11 approval rating.
What if they had all the Cruxes?
Speed's gotta know.
No.
However, ranking below Voldemort, Rick Santorum.
Kevin Bacon.
No, Kevin Bacon's not on the list.
Good guess, though, Roddy.
Rick Santorum with a minus 18. However, Donald Trump has a minus 56, so he is five times the villain that
That's
Voldemort is.
Quite something to check out.
In the mind of Washington Post readers.
Jennifer Bales.
Glad Ben Bradley's not here to see that poll, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
He was the editor, the whole deep Kevin, thing? Of the Washington Post. Back during Watergate.
All right.
Famous journalist.
I'll look it up.
You do that.
John Cusack.
Get right on it.
Is Rodney still guessing?
Well, you know how he is.
The list
Elizabeth
is over.
Banks.
He's waiting to see what he wins.
Randy Newman, of all people.
Randy Newman is not running for president.
Brooke Newton.
Wait a minute. Now, if Brooke Newton runs, I might vote for Brooke Newton. Iggy Azalea will not be performing at the Gay Pride Parade in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She was supposed to be at the event this Saturday, but some things she said in the past have come back to haunt her a little bit. In 2010, Iggy tweeted, "When guys whisper each other's ears, I always think it's kind of homo." So apparently she's being criticized now as being homophobic, and she won a controversy surrounding her appearance in the parade, so she decided to cancel.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. Serious question. Not trying to derail the bit.
Could she be president? I don't think so, because she's Australian.
She's Australian. Look, she took herself out of the running. She declined to appear, so it's not an issue. But should they have not let her appear just because of something she said in a tweet 5 years ago? Or do we allow people to evolve in their feelings over time?
I don't think they were saying she couldn't appear.
The organizers said
she was still welcome.
Right.
But she was concerned that some things she said carelessly, as she says, in the past, mm-hmm. could be interpreted as to reflect on her character, and it would cause some controversy and some unwanted negative attention to the event, and she didn't want to mar the event in any way.
I think most people would have forgiven her for that comment and looked, you know, been excited to have her at the event, don't you?
I don't know.
That comment from 5 years ago against
I wouldn't begin to speak for the gay population of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Well, I know the gays in Pittsburgh very well, so I feel like
I'm not my place.
Qualify.
She did. That was her rapping. I would not invite her for that.
The murder business.
Stop it. I'm just going to cut bait. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, June 10th. Actress Gina Gershon celebrates her 53rd birthday today. I feel bad sometimes for Gina Gershon because I think she's a very talented actress who's done a lot of good work, but she's still probably best known for working in Showgirls, one of the worst films ever made.
Yeah. Not her fault.
It seems to follow her around quite a bit.
Yeah.
What's another high profile role that she started?
Wasn't she Bound? Was that the one that kind of made her famous?
Oh, Bound.
She was great in that.
What was that, Rodney?
Genius.
Genius. She was genius in that. Elizabeth Hurley's 50 years old today. She is a lovely, lovely lady. Very talented. Remember in Austin Powers, the Austin Powers movie? How good she was.
Bitch.
No, come on, Rodney.
Wow.
God, dude. Lily Sobieski, speaking of talent, she's 32. I guess Rodney has nothing to say about her. Kate Upton's 23.
Trailed off.
Well,
I was done.
Ew. Wow.
I just couldn't get up.
When hitting the bell. When hitting
Come
the
on.
Bell. What were you, wait, what did you do?
Seven.
Why didn't you think
Shut
I meant?
Up.
Shane West is 37, as is actor DJ Qualls and comedian Bill Burr, one of our favorites around here. Super talented guy. And for a comedian, super nice, too.
He's a good dude.
Got a good attitude.
For a Boston fan.
For a Boston comedian, he is remarkably...
God bless him.
Not the least bit aggressive in his obnoxiousness. Like some.
In this room.
In this room. In any room.
Right.
But particularly this
in
room.
In this one specifically.
He is 47 years old today. He's the only person that I know with any... ties to Boston that has a birthday this week. It's so odd.
That is weird.
Yeah. Usually, there's
a lot of people from there.
It's very weird.
Friday,
so that is
very
strange.
Birthday.
He's the only one with a Boston connection.
That's strange.
About birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. Welcome to Show Biz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Jim Rome talking sports. We have Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew tomorrow as well.